bill yesterday. December 2009 F pump.
If you were in,
go, Dave.
So did Doug.
Way to step up.
We had three U.S. Fish and Wildlife guys. Larry from Eagle Creek. Jeff. I think also from Eagle Creek, and then
you and me. Yeah, need the
I have not yet heard, but they don't need to get in there, so I think they're just going to leave the flushing water open until they absolutely have to get in and dewater those pools.
Show and tell. But they're going to be there. That's,
that, now, they've got, it's what, Bonneville, be tougher. Bradford Island out of the water, right?
Yeah, we just dewatered that yesterday.
The cookies are really good.
Yeah. They're always good, but these are like especially like, ooh, really good.
I made them last night.
Yeah, that's not the sugar-free, no butter recipe.
That's yeah.
That's got flavor.
That's the good
they
flavor.
They taste like real cookies. I've had some sugar-free.
They are real
cookies. Say thank you.
You're digging a hole over there, buddy.
What do the rest of my cookies taste like?
They taste like regular, no butter, sugar-free.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you.
You know, last month,
digging a hole.
They weren't as flippy.
Stop digging.
What did I bring in last month?
There they are.
It froze us.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Benton came out and dewatered,
just
too.
Just doubled the crew.
Yeah.
They were probably very...
Well, I had to come. I knew Jamie would bring something.
Yeah. But they're good this time.
Yeah, apparently they're good today.
I think they're great.
I tried.
No, but you know what I mean? When somebody brings those cookies, they just bite
into them. Digging. Stop digging.
You know, when someone brings, you never start it with that. You know, when someone brings, it's when I bring. Not like the cookies I made. Fuck, division guys, man.
They're hard to clean. Jeez.
Tammy, that was yours. Huh?
And they're in charge of policy.
They're used to.
Yes, it was mine.
He's setting policy right now.
Yeah. Rub everybody wrong.
No sugar-free cookies without butter.
Oh, that's what you
got. Which ones were yours?
What?
Yesterday? Were you talking about yesterday?
No, these.
Oh.
He's commenting that these are good cookies today.
I enjoyed the ones yesterday.
Thank you.
I don't know which ones are yours, but
the shortbread.
So far, the coldest temperature recorded in the room at their house is 18 degrees in Washougal by Gary. How about you?
I live out towards Hillsboro.
Hillsboro gets cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was maybe about 19. Yeah.
I guess you're right. I didn't think about it first.
Hey, did an experiment with my kid. I'm like, it's cold outside, so cold that it's going to freeze water. He's like,
really?
I'm like, yeah.
We're going to freeze water, man.
Yeah. He was all excited, so my five-year-old. He's like, put a thing of water out this morning. He gets up, he's like looking outside, he's like, oh, that doesn't look frozen. And I'm like, go get it. And he goes and gets it. Sticks to his hand. And he's like, wow. He's like, can I tip it upside down? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, let's put it under the Christmas tree. Wrap it up.
Upside down. Yeah.
He wanted to bring it to school.
Let's stick it in his pocket.
Yeah. Look at this. This is what happens when a liquid turns to a solid.
Oh, really?
They're sitting on it. Oh, yeah. This is a warm. Yeah.
Wow.
We would never get together except for when you have a long time.
Life and death at that point. All
right, we'll be shared today.
Well, I think we've now reached critical mass. We are starting. You okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Okay. So we heard Bill on the phone. Is anyone else on the phone? Nope. Okay. Well, for Bill's benefit, I guess we'll go around the room.
Greg Moody.
Hey, Bill.
Hey. Deb Bowes, Corps of Engineers.
Steve Benner, Fat
Benton, BPA.
Gary.
Gary Frederick, Small Fisheries.
Rick Kruger, ODFW.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Bernard Klatt, Core.
And Tammy Mackey, Core.
Tim Dykstra, Core. Okay. Well, we'll get started reviewing and approving the agenda. Anyone have any issues they want added? Okay. And minutes. Any comments before we finalize November minutes? Okay. Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Good morning, Bill.
That was.
I'm getting the feeling the minutes are getting a little long. A lot of paper to print these out. A lot of time spent to review them. I would like to see a summary of the minutes. And then if Tammy wants to write all every have it all written out, that's fine. But I'd like to see a summary, a short one that. Review in a in half an hour, catch the important points and see if you're there or not, and get on with it, and not have to waste any pieces of paper. So that's my comment.
Don't
on
print
that.
It. Read them on the.
Yeah, no, we'll get it. We're actually we heard your comments and we've decided to make a little summary attachment, and it's going to be summary of FBOM minutes, and then there'll be. F-bomb minutes or the full meeting minutes, so you can open up the summary and it'll be.
How about a summary of a summary?
Yeah.
And separate file.
It'll be a two files. One will say summary and one will say F-bomb minutes, and you can go ahead and open the summary, and if you need to dig into the minutes, then it's.
Job. Good job. I thank you, and the world thanks you.
Merry Christmas.
But that summary was just going to be the finalized results, correct? In the action item.
We'll work on it. We'll develop it with Bill and see how it goes.
Yeah. So, Bill, we'll give it a shot here
in guinea pig
for December, and you let us know how close we are to hitting the mark with this. All right.
I'll send you the facilitators that are now working at SCT. They put out a 1 or 1.5 page summary of SCT meetings. It's just real good, and I'm impressed with that. So. I'll send you that as an example, and then you can, and then we have a note taker at SCT that takes, 5 to 10 pages of notes, too, that produces those. But you can get the quick summary from the facility.
Okay.
Send you that example.
Okay. Sounds good. I think you would feel a little bit better if you were here, too, Bill, because these cookies that Tammy brought are really good.
Oh, yeah.
And so... So unfortunately, you can't be here to taste them, but we can get you the summary, and we'll work on that. All right.
One thing I do just
I'm kind of cookie restricted now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have one for you, Bill.
Yeah, would you please eat several?
Well, I can't get too carried away, but I'll have two here.
Yeah.
Having those files, the WMA files or whatever they are, with the recordings, is really useful on. The web, appreciate that.
Oh, they're available on the web?
I did go back and dig through those when I was working on that sync issue. I listened to several meetings.
Mm-hmm. Remember what you said?
I said what?
It's interesting to hear, actually, what people say about things that I missed.
I'm not speaking anymore.
Keep the mic away from me.
Okay, does someone else join us on the phone?
Yeah, this is Ben Hausman from Bonneville.
Welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
All right. We are now moving into action items. First, a little goose, little granite fish transport. If you remember this past fall, numbers were really low. We were still transporting. We had a discussion here. Should we end it early? But there was a study. So I checked. There is... That study's continuing at Lower Granite next year. So whatever we decide to do, it can't impact Lower Granite. I guess a take-home for me on this is at Little Goose, we're not going to have a truck doing a separate run by itself when we have 6, 7, 8 fish. But I hesitate to say we won't transport from Little Goose when we have numbers that low. Because if we have a truck that's leaving from Granite it's not really that much effort to swing past Little Goose on the way. To me, this is a big deal if we're sending two trucks, one from Granite, one from Goose, to Bonneville. That just seems like a waste of resources. It seems like spending too much in gas to get these fish out. But if we can do it in the same truckload, even if we only have 10 fish, that's also our highest SARS. And so we can have a discussion on it later. But I can say this quite definitively, unless there's people that disagree, we won't have a truck leave from Little Goose just by itself with really small numbers of fish. So that has happened in the past, and that won't happen again. So, and we can discuss additional details later, but I did find out the study is continuing, so we will continue at Granite.
When does it end?
It's 1 month.
Oh, what time of year or what? It ends when we are scheduled to stop transport, which is the last day of October. And I think next year, 2010, is the last year of that study. So, okay. Any other comments on that? So as far as that one goes, we can probably pull that off the action item list. Galvanized grates.
So I got from Cordy this. He says their engineers figured out this formula, and it's attached in an Excel spreadsheet that he sent me. I'll include it in the minutes. They're in the process of running the calculations for coming up with a standard number, and they still need a little bit more time to work on it, but they are working on getting that.
Okay. Bonneville spillway repairs.
The memo's being finalized.
All right.
This was, I believe, the holes in the spillway.
Yeah.
So they are doing a memo, and it'll be addressed to the dam safety program manager.
Because there was no funding, this FY, for it, that pulled.
All right. 2.4, McNary Ice Harbor Lamprey Velocity Test. Derek, are you on the phone yet? I guess not. So you have a draft report included in the agenda. And I think the take home from that was, one, we're not quite getting exactly
not
what
in the agenda. It was in a PDF format that I couldn't cut and paste, but it will be on the website.
Okay.
Under
Okay. Can we just email it out to the group?
Was it not emailed out to the group?
Yeah,
did you guys not see it?
I got a copy of it.
I probably did, but I haven't.
I'll send it again. That's no big deal.
Okay.
So what is
this? This is the draft report?
We'll discuss it. We can discuss it once you've had time to look it over. We'll discuss it next month. So we can the
velocity tests.
Basically, when we at night we lowered the entrance weirs to reduce the velocity. I think one of the take homes from the report is we're not quite getting it as precise as we'd like it to. We were expecting to get the velocities cut in half at night as we reduce the entrance weir. And we're not getting that level of decrease in velocities.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that Derek or someone else, if Derek can't attend, will be here to be on the phone in January to talk about what the next steps are on that. But we won't. What's that?
Just replace the belt.
Yeah, that's right. So that's where we're at. We can discuss it more next month.
Today.
Okay, thank you. Bonneville VOB roof replacement.
No longer funded.
No longer funded.
So it's done. It's off the table. Forget about it.
Right.
What happened?
Check.
Was this the one for the Washington Land?
ARRA funding and that got cut by a significant amount. So
this
those
was a
projects on the
Washington
cusp.
Side. Okay, good.
Gone.
Good.
Use
the
margin. All right, that's good thing.
Bernie, where did we leave it in design? We were going to post on the thing, or is it a place you can pick it up again? Did they
I don't know where Mark got with the posts in the columns for support. I mean, last time I talked to him was when he came here and presented it and said, well, I'm really interested in changing that to putting out, what is it, external columns or something like that.
I think existing. He managed to get that changed.
So it's in that shovel-ready pile, so that it's...
I imagine that's where it's going, in that shovel-ready pile.
For the next go-around.
I mean, it seems like they got pretty far, but we'll find out. That'll be mine. I'll get a hold of Sokka and see what the update is.
So what was the reason for the no funding? What happened?
ARRA funding that got cut in almost, I don't know how many millions.
It did?
Oh, yeah.
So this just happened?
Yeah. Happened within the past 3 weeks. It's supposed to be $33 million, went down to $19 million.
Well, this is a congressional cut. There's a lot of things going on out there.
Yeah.
How that affected guys.
So all these projects that weren't actually on the ground and going.
Yeah.
They got.
So how does that affect
you? There's highway improvement projects in every road in the entire country going on right now. So those are probably about half of those or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. A lot of the roads are like looking good.
On SCT for some things that were going to be funded that way. We should find out if it affects any roads.
What I think interesting on ARRA funds is a lot of those funds were obtained by a 6% cut on our overall budget, and then it's basically sort of big chunks taken out of the budget, and then it's kind of released, say, okay, stimulus funds. So it's... Sort of a shell game.
Yeah.
But it's Burns saying this.
And the shells are still moving right now because they're in there saying, well, we might get an add on. You know, it changes every week or two. Tom?
Welcome.
Shorts on, man. Way to go.
Right.
It's that time of year.
Sandals?
Here.
Right here.
All right. Yeah.
Doug says these are good ones.
Yeah. I said socks my sandals up.
Grew up somewhere where you don't have the sense to stay out of school.
I work for the tribe. How bad are they sense?
Hey, we were just talking earlier how Tammy records everything and puts them on the website.
Yeah.
She does.
I've been there for 12 years.
Could you index that one for me, please?
Where are we at?
Strike them from the record.
17 minutes, 41 seconds.
I'll use that later.
A big blackout.
Okay. Moving along, FPP change forms. Walla Walla and RCC will submit additional change forms to Tammy.
That's
done. Okay. 2.7 Bonneville Fish Unit Trash Rake.
Yeah, it's supposed to be tested today at 1, and I don't think it's going to happen. Overnight, our BVS has got loaded to the point of having to throttle back fish units with, having to do chum tail water and all the other stuff we got going on. So that's obviously the priority for our rigging crew today, as opposed to running that rig for district folks to look at. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it'll be postponed once again.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that way we can all go out and look at it next time.
Yeah, that would be good, actually. I think the only one that was coming out was Dave Claver. So it'd be good to have anyone of interest just out here to check it out.
Get it over the Christmas holidays.
Do you think that'd be good?
No.
A little Christmas trip.
So, Ben, might as well get right into the update on the tie crane. I know that the tie crane's getting load tested.
Yep.
And should be, I know, I'm jumping ahead. But since we're talking about VBSs, do you have an update on the return to operation date?
I don't. All I know is they tested the auxiliary hoist, and that was fine, but they have to do the final load test, and until that point, obviously, we're not accepting it. And
right.
I think it's happening today since the weather's so nice.
Crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we'll know more by the end of the day, hopefully, but that's all we know currently.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ben. 2.8 fish mortalities. Burn sent out a reminder.
Yeah, I sent out a reminder, but of course Bob asked me, what about reporting non-native species like catfish? And
does he really need to answer that? Ask that question.
I mean, do you need any kind of non-natives reported?
Woodside shiners?
I mean, unless it's, you know, operation that's causing it, I would say.
No. Okay. Listed, unless there are lamprey or sturgeon. After that, I can throw rats ass less.
Bull trout.
Yeah, if you see a bull trout, yeah, to notify that, because that's going to be the biggest shock ever.
Yeah.
You missed the AFIP review, obviously.
Yeah. I was in D.C.
Sorry. Okay.
So listed native species?
No.
Listed.
I don't know. I have a mixed feeling about the introduced species, non-native species I can live with, but any native species I think we have a responsibility for and should be reported.
We must conserve our lamprey, right?
Yeah.
So we'll just keep
but
it.
But there's other things. There's whitefish. There's all kinds of things out there that are native that we should have a responsibility. At least my agency has a responsibility for.
Okay, send all those today. The rest of us, you
can go on. Okay, so reporting on all natives. All non-natives will not be reported. Good? Okay. Let's see. NWP lamprey mods. And we're discussing this under item 4. And so we are moving along then.
Thank you.
She's trained already.
All right, and we'll skip this number ten. We'll talk about ESBS installation on agenda item 7. So we're getting there, but the point is, Gary has emailed a document out, and we'll discuss it on agenda item 7. All right.
Yeah, but before we get too far, I'm just curious. Since Ben's on the phone, there was a problem with a valve yesterday during the dewatering, and they were going to flood the ladder and try and get some fish out. I just wondered if that has been done or how it's working or any information on that. Are they going to get the valve fixed this winter?
Yeah, the valve is going to have to be fixed this winter. I don't know the extent of the problem yet. I'm not sure anybody does, but basically it's the valve 4-3 that feeds the conduit that feeds the B-branch, most of the B-branch diffusers. So what we've done in the past is put orifice blocks in right above the first diffuser pool and then just kind of started that one diffuser and push fish down and move things down sequentially until we reach tailwater.
So what's the issue here?
The issue is we have hundreds of sturgeon and B-branch ladder that are stranded in the diffuser pools.
I've heard about this.
It was just yesterday.
We just dewatered yesterday. Normally, we would leave diffuser 3-18 open, and that that's the uppermost diffuser, and that would flush those fish down and provide enough flow. With 4-3 having a broken stem, they are not able to
broken
open.
Broken stem on
4-3? FB-4-3 up there.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, the one that we replaced last year. It's broken again, and so it'll take them about a week to get to repairs.
That's the tainer.
It's the tainer,
yeah. So what's the pin or something, or?
It's the shaft itself is what the riggers were saying yesterday. I think the motor drove it too far and it broke it again. At least that's what they thought at the end of the day yesterday. And it'll take them about a week to repair it, and it didn't sound like they were going to be able to get to it till after the new year. So what they did yesterday is they opened the exit gate a couple of inches to provide flow down B branch, sure, hoping that those sturgeon had moved down. A branch diffuser still works, so 3-9, FG3-9 was open. That's the uppermost diffuser there, and those sturgeon will work their way down.
So basically, the effort we did yesterday didn't work quite as well because we're not pushing water up from the bottom out of a diffuser and encouraging those fish. We're bringing it all the way up from the exit, and it's just, it moved them out of one diffuser, but they're still a lot in the next diffuser pool down, so we're going to have to step down and move orifice blocks and do this probably over the next week to be able to get fish all the way down.
And nothing's getting back upstream on the ladder, I see.
Nope, nothing can get upstream, but okay. It's just a real slow process, and it means getting in the ladder potentially every couple of days until we get them where we want them.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Sure.
Someone else joined us?
Someone else join on the phone?
Yeah, Steve Richard.
How you doing, Steve? Welcome.
Thank you. Doing good.
All right. You get everything answered on your question, Dave? Yeah. Or at least as much as we can?
No, I figured everybody ought to.
Yeah.
No,
thanks for that. Okay, moving into updates then. Bonneville Powerhouse 1 Grizzly Drain modifications?
I still don't think we have a funding source for mods.
We do not.
So that's where it sits until then.
Okay.
The idea there was to bring those the grizzly up off the floor.
Yeah, I think the last thing we had kind of explored was to increase the size of that drain at the top, so you'd have a little more surface area and less velocity.
Right. That's been around a long time.
Do what?
That idea has been around a long time.
Yeah, and that's as far as it's gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay.
So you have a design, it's just no money to implement.
Yeah, it's been years and years. Yeah.
Is that one shovel ready?
Oh, I would think so.
That's the area.
Well, we'll just put it in the queue, and if I can pull it off at the end of the year funding, I'll do it.
As long as
I tried to do that last year. And
okay.
These are, I mean, can we do them part, you know, part parcel, a couple at a time?
One at a time?
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah. I mean, as the unit's down, you do it, so it wouldn't be that much expense at one time. It's not like doing the whole powerhouse at once.
Yeah, I'm just a little nervous about the small project team. That's trying to find a way to scoot around them and do it. But did I just say that?
What's the time on the
recording? What's the time stamp on that one?
Yeah.
That'd be 27 even.
No. We're all going to get time stamped today. So I know it's an issue, and it's, you know, it's in the queue. Sounds like it's something easy to do, but it really isn't.
Yeah, it seems like it would be fairly just replacement of the drain grate, really, is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Design instead of a flat design.
Alrighty. Bonneville TDG at Cascade Islands.
So, is it 2005, I believe? Catherine Tackley gave her presentation on what she had done in the ladder, taking readings, and that's the last she's done on anything because there has been no interest from her management side. But she's saying that the only thing that can be done is to modify the intake of the AWS, or is it the AWS or the ladder?
The AWS,
which, as that changes, it's sucking more air and entraining it, so it gets up to 135% TDG. And she's like, yeah, I could take some more measurements, but it's going to just continue to read the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just the intake design is inefficient.
The intake?
The AWS intake.
Wait, up here.
She said you could go up to the four-bay side, just listen to the thing, just sucking air, and makes a huge sound of just entraining air.
I don't know her. I don't know what her background is, but have there been engineers?
She is an engineer.
She an engineer?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's pretty sharp.
Okay.
It's Sean Tackley's wife. I don't know if you ever met her. She was Catherine
Barco
before.
Oh,
she just changed her name, finally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess she was...
Well, you make it sound like it was imminent. Like she should have been changing her name earlier.
I wish
she didn't want to change her name at all.
Uh-oh. It's your last name. When are you going to change your name?
I'm not changing my name.
You should.
Yeah, no kidding.
Time stamp this one.
Back to sucking air.
Right. Yeah. That's what Burns doing right now.
Blowing air right now.
This should be fixable.
Well, that's the question. Is, I just need to go to Fairway to have them start design. What's the path forward?
That would be the path forward, is changing the intake.
Yeah. Well, the intake.
And is that going to be the solution?
The intakes for those are big. It falls over weir into a tainer. I mean, that's all this is, or it doesn't fall into the weir. It just goes through, and then there's a big tainer valve. So I'm having trouble with that being the problem.
How's that secondary?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense to me unless the forebay is so low that there's not enough head on the thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's when the forebay elevation gets lower, then it has to start compensating in the ladder.
But the forebay doesn't vary as much as the tailwater, by any means, so...
Do you know the range of forebays that this is causing problems?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we look at the forebays, when she was doing her study...
Beats me.
It's got to be at the low forebays and how often it'll be at those.
All right, I'll bring her in, and you guys can ask her all the technical questions.
Well, we've been down this road before. I mean, that's not new. It's been a long time ago, so I don't remember all the details.
Can you ask her to sketch out some concepts of how to fix...
What budget you going to use? Don't we get one pager?
Does she need a budget to even put some concepts together?
Yes, she does.
So she's with the district.
Yeah, she's downtown. In the district water management.
She's in Jim Adams.
Water quality section.
She's
under
Jim Adams.
I can talk to her and see what she thinks.
Well,
and
I guess I'd feel better if I... I'm sorry, I don't know her credentials or stuff as much as, you know, I just... What I'm not hearing is people like Schlenker being involved in hydraulic engineering or structural engineers. All the resources that the district has down there, I'd like to see a little more. I mean, this is exceeding water quality standards in a ladder right in the middle of, you know, one of our entrances, so we shouldn't be doing that of all places. It's kind of hard. If you're doing that, then turn around and be holding spill down the gas increasing, you know, for much lower gas percentages.
How much data did she have?
She collected over a long period of time, 3 months.
She got a lot of data. I'm more interested in the details of how water gets through that system and what the entrainment is, what the source of the entrainment is, and what you'll do about that to stop that entrainment. Because that's just, I mean, obviously it's something there. I can hear it. I know that.
Do we go back and look at 4 days in that whole
period.
Well, it sounds like let me talk to her and see if I can get Schlenker involved or somebody
from
the structural office.
Having her come here and tell us again is not going to help.
No, because she's like, I can't do anything else unless I can take samples. It's going to say the same thing.
This is all happening.
It's all dealing with the intake.
What I would expect is that would go to the engineers downtown, the rest of the engineers. But she's in the division.
No, she's here. District.
Okay, I'm getting... Well, anyway.
Well, she wasn't
still
Adams
not here.
What's that?
She was under Adams. Jim Adams.
No. This is Sean Tackley's wife, Catherine Tackley.
I know. Last week was her niece.
Oh, well.
I thought you were
you're in LDP?
What was that?
Are you in Leadership Development Program?
Yes, I was.
Do you guys know that?
That's how desperate they were for a warm body.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I wear a suit tie all next week. That's why I'm wearing
Is that why your hair's cut?
That's
right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
The haircut?
He's
suit
moving
tie
out
all last week? That's why I'm wearing shorts
now. To
talk to him. That's my natural.
Oh, that explains a lot. All right, so yeah, she's from district, and she's in the water management, water quality section. So I'll talk with her and Bruce Duffy and see if what's the next step to get something, at least some money. I don't know about the funding part.
That's the problem. But so if you can't do that, then we're just stuck on square one. But it wanted
to be your person too.
Clugger, do you know if they did any kind of analysis when you guys put the Lamprey stuff in on AWS there upstream?
Oh, that's like, I mean, they did. They were playing around with, with water supply and all, but I don't think they were thinking about gas. Schlenker would probably know how the thing works well enough. He could at least call him and ask to see if he knows anything right off the top of his head.
Yeah, it needs to go further than that, though. I mean, it just needs
but
to be
to start with the
design team and some people to look at it.
Well, see, the tainer valve. See, the tainer valve stuck in there. It seems like you need to flood that valve. That's what it comes down to. So how do you get enough water to flood the back? It's basically put up back.
Well, it comes off the floor base, so you can't flood it any higher.
Well, you can, so you can lower your wear.
Yeah, lower your
wear.
Oh yeah.
Well, okay, so
that's the original stuff and all that. You've seen if you've seen that valve and all that, that's a big deal.
So isn't this a fitter weight process that should take place?
Maybe that's what you do.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
It seems like it to me.
Well, this could be done a weird kind.
So FPOM is recommending that fitter weight take this up.
Hey,
I am recommending that fitter weight take this up.
That's my recommendation.
But isn't this a we're talking about how to operate existing infrastructure?
You can't really operate it.
No, it's how it operates.
We have to use it. That's the way it's working.
Talking about
right
changing,
now.
Modifying existing okay infrastructure.
Yeah.
So we'll make some operation calls to Schlinker and see if we can get this on Fitterwick's agenda.
Yeah, I'd like correspondence to Ed Meyer. And I don't really want to know about it. I just want to know what it's doing.
Theory recommends just to fix it.
Find and fix it, be done with it.
It's like
I don't have a problem with gear, just fix it.
Gas supersaturation issues.
Yeah, I know.
So Tammy wants to know if this is just Cascade Islands or should be looking into B1. What is it?
B branch has the same setup, and so does FB11.
You know, and it's interesting because you don't see the the gas issue over there, or the bubbling that we see over on the Cascade Island ladder.
Where do those?
There's something different.
Where do those capacity? I don't know the FB ones or the BB ones or whatever where they are. So where do they exit? Where do those? Are those the other ladders that exit out?
One, they're all auxiliary water supplies. They all support the lower sections of the ladder systems in the Bradford Island system.
But are they both on the Cascade?
On the Bradford Island system and the Cascade Island system, I'm sorry. The old, it's all the old dam.
Okay.
Ladder system. So there's B branch, A branch, and Cascade Island. They all run off the same kind of valves, air valves, gravity flow from the fore bay.
And that one ladder entrance comes out on the north side of the
Cascade Island is on the north side. Of the spillway, it used to be the old shore.
Right.
We don't see the same bubbling issues in the other systems that we see in Cascade Island.
Well, now, when we had researchers along the collection channel, they were finding their fish were showing up with bubbles, and they figured out it was from the water coming out at B11. This would have been nearly 10 years ago, and we never did anything different with it. It's just kind of always been...
Okay. So my recommendation was
they were releasing fish. I think it was probably with the MGR testing, and it was the control fish. It was their control fish, but they were getting their water from the AWS, and all their fish were showing signs of gas bubble disease.
Did Catherine Tackley test B branch?
Not that I'm aware of.
So you may only think it's a Cascades Island issue because that's where we're testing.
That's where we see the bubbling.
So I guess I would suggest we know we have a problem with Cascades because it dumps out and it's picked up by the official project TDG gauge.
Right.
So let's attack that problem, and then if there's a solution and we can successfully, Fitterwick can successfully fix it or suggest a fix, we can progress to the next ones.
Well, I mean, you basically we're fixing the source water for all of these. So.
Well, I heard there were separate intakes.
They are. They're all separate. Yeah.
But they're the same style valves.
Right. So you do the one we know we've got a problem at, for sure, and then we can...
There's like 9, 10, 11 valves, big valves.
There should only be 5.
Right. But there's, you've got 4 at Cascade Island, you've got 4 sitting at... branch.
You mean the diffusers?
The valves. There's those.
The FE, so we have 4-3-4-4, 5-3 and 5-4, and then 1-1. So just those 5 are the only ones that are going to be open.
The others are the dumps.
Yeah, they're no longer used because they were part of the fish lock system.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been cannibalized. Yeah.
Parts?
Already been used.
Already been used.
Cannibalized.
Okay. Well, that was entertaining and lively.
Hey, Kim?
Yeah.
Could you catch this as an action item so we can follow up at the next meeting to see what's been done on it and keep it on the radar?
This is definitely being captured as an action item.
Okay.
And we'll be in your new summary notes.
Yeah.
When's the next fair week?
Look on your calendar.
Week or so in
January. Yeah, it's like January 7th or 8th.
7th. So, trying to create a spot up there as well.
This is going to be something that's on the slide.
I'll be taking notes for Fitterwood from now on, too, so you can imagine that they'll be very closely aligned with AVCOM. Everything will be very organized. Maybe I'll even cross-reference it. I'll start recording Fitterwig so I can go back and
about not having enough to do.
So they assign more work. That is not
true. All right.
It's all part of my master plan.
Your evil master plan.
Mm-hmm. Can we move up? Can we move off this one now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we the place on the agenda where we have our hour and a half dedicated to our Smith Root Array Insulation discussion.
Another hour and a half about that?
Another hour and a half.
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Three hallelujahs. It's in.
It's in.
It's in. Are they going to do any monitoring like that right now to see how their Gibson and Camel works or not?
When they get the right one, they're
going. When they get the right one? I thought they had the right one.
No, they bought a long range one. They tried a short range one. And now the short range one works on.
So the long range ones they originally tried, they said sucked. So the new one they got said they're more confident with it. I don't know what more confident means and that kind of stuff. That just means being
so
cynical.
They need to get their hands on the one they can use for a lot of great time to sort of do it.
Okay.
So does anyone want to buy a long range?
I think we have one actually. So.
Do you have a long or short?
And what's the long range on the Ditson?
40 feet.
Is that something you guys own now?
I'm sure we bought it.
Okay. Because it could come in handy looking at entrances.
Exactly. So they've been working with it since it's been there. But it is in. They got it in their day. Thank you, the Bonneville Project, for all their efforts in getting it in.
So just to give you guys a quick update, we're negotiating over our house. We're checking the agenda to see if somebody's going to come over and talk to us and try to allay some of the concerns we're having. But yeah, I think we're hopefully not the end of the
meeting. Did you invite them or are you going
to leave? We're checking the agenda. I'm trying to talk to my boss again today. This is an issue. We should get on the agenda. Talk to the commissioner saying we need to review the current agenda to see if we're going to do this. There's, of course, other issues going on as well.
One note on the installation, though, there was a gap that had to get modified with some plexiglass because of
the wall was
a little bit bowed, so they had to fill the bow.
Huh? It wasn't plumb.
No, can you believe that?
They originally moved it downstream 10 feet and had to move it back up 6 because the wall was bowed. So it'll be fine, but it just it wouldn't fit in the bowed section.
So if you go out there and see something and you're like, what is that? That's what it is.
Plexiglass.
I'm assuming they put it nice and smooth and wash and do all that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, you should see it.
Oh, gosh.
It's just one piece on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, all bolted together until it kind of bridged the gap. Ben, did they ever smooth that off?
Nope.
So, yeah, I hope nothing runs into it.
With that note.
All right. We are now moving on to Bonneville Tie Crane.
Well, Ben gave the update, and the only thing is, yeah, they're doing the 125% load test on it, and they're hoping to do that today, but it should be completed no later than the end of this week. Just in time for some VBS cleaning. Which we can also just put in your back of your head. We should probably start talking about the tie crane, installing ties. I don't know if you want to do another task group.
Put them in. No task group. No data.
What would the task group be needed for?
We don't have anything new until we get the data with them in.
Right, but do you want to...
We have them with it out.
We have them with it out, with the BGS, with Unit 11 down. You could have it with them in, with the BGS, with the Unit 11 down.
The BGS with the Unit 11 running for the spring of 08, but not for the summer of 08 and 09. So we have some mixture of results.
It's not going to be clean comparison.
Nope. I think we're going to do a treatment test with BG with the ties in, ties out.
Three-day block design.
Yeah, exactly. Those are pretty scary pieces of screening
in
metal.
I know that very well. I remember the first
time. I can't even imagine seeing them swinging in the air with the wind.
Steam crane. Yeah, that was the 200s.
Yeah.
Let's just say that was the classic time frame.
Well, I mean, that's something we have to make a decision. I know we can't decide it right now, but I would like to, unless you want to decide it right now, I'd like to keep them out until we get Unit 11 back.
Well, you're going to have a bunch of fish coming down. It seems like it's a good year to get some data on it.
I think that
this
you got...
Like this, I think this, I mean, because you have data from last year without...
Yeah, summer.
Summer. And, I mean, really, it's going to be the summer. It's going to be... more interesting species.
Well, I thought those ties were designed for spring, and they got pulled.
They were. They don't do anything in the summer. We have a spring test with the BGS and Unit 11. We have a spring test with the BGS, not no Unit 11. So how about a test with the ties and no Unit 11? I mean, the ties need to be put in.
All right.
We haven't decided. We don't have the data to decide whether they should or should not. The fish passage plan says put them in if you can. So the default is in, unless there's sufficient information to support leaving them out. The only way to do that is to compare them.
Right. Well, how about if we get the CFD? I know Lori Ebner has a CFD model with them in with a BGS. I don't know if that was added in her CFD.
CFD, just the entire format?
Yeah. Kind of like what Cindy was presenting last week.
Yeah.
I know Lori's taken that, and she's got it with ties in, ties out, but I'm not sure about BGS as well. So let me track that down and get that out there as well.
BGS isn't going to affect the hydraulics and the way those ties work. It won't. It may affect how the fish behave in response to them, but it's not going to affect the water.
There you go.
When do they go in?
What's that?
When do they go in?
Before the season starts.
Yeah, they go in before spill. I think it's March 15th. March 1st is the start to install date. Or is it have them in?
They're supposed to be in by March.
In by March 1st.
Yeah. Spring Creek, though.
Everything starts before March.
It was originally thought it was Spring Creek, but Gary clarified that it's for all the lower river fish.
That's right, lower river residents.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. End of February, they need to be in.
They have a window of opportunity already in the calendar to put them in.
So, if you want to plan on putting them in, then let's do it.
That's the plan. I mean, that is what the requirement is.
Tie crane's for.
And they're, you know, as much as I don't like these things, but right now that's the... What the plan says.
Let's go soak them.
We can always talk about changing that, but I don't know what we would use to justify not putting them in, because all we know is that they work.
So, Gary, if we put them in this year, we do collect some data, will we have information next year to leave them out?
Well, we'll have some. Yeah, we don't have a Unit 11 running, so we don't, I mean, that's the problem, is we don't have a constant condition.
11 will be better, but I mean, the condition we have is the condition we have, and there are times when 11 is going to be broken.
You know, I don't expect them to have a whole lot of effect on the corner collector anyway. Really, I mean, what the effect that they would have is on the units that they're over. I guess the effect that we're looking for is what's the FPE for the entire powerhouse with the corner collector. Are we okay with where we're at? I guess that's the question.
All right, let's find out.
I think it's a question. I think I've been involved, or just like, or except we've done the past, we've done half of it.
It would be 15 on down is what we would do.
You want to put them in a different place?
Yeah. Where did we end up with the committee on that thing? We never did write up any kind of report, did we? Or any kind of analysis?
No, we just had a recommendation not to put them in based on the BGS and the
tie crane being broken.
Bringing on a barge crane.
The way we left it was that we were going to try to get a test, some sort of
an in and out, right. And the in was going to be this year, but 11 went down, so that's still a viable test.
Well, it depends on what you consider success. What's the metric that we're measuring? Is it
fish guidance
efficiency of the units 15, 16, 17, and 18, or is it guidance efficiency of the entire powerhouse, including
I would say it's everything, including the corn collector. So,
is that good enough?
The longer they sit on shore,
that's right.
The worse condition they're going to get in. I mean, they're really in bad shape, some of them.
I guess.
They get bad no matter what. They deteriorate in the water as much, I think, as they're sitting out in the open, probably more.
I guess we hate not having enough good data, but pretty much agreed they're not much use in the summer. So I kind of agree with Gary. We've got a season coming up and we'll have four different scenarios when it's done. And we can take our best shot after that.
And I would recommend putting them in the spring due to their failing condition.
That's what I mean.
Another year or two, they don't have anything to test. Well, right. Rebuild them for $10
million. No. If they're usable, let's do it. It'll give us the best information we have.
Makes sense. Put them in now before you can't put them in.
Yeah, and you've got, that test with unit 11 off.
So it'll be
spring
last
test
year versus spring this year with unit 11 off. That's what they're going to have.
And usually they're pulled by, June 15th?
Yeah, somewhere in there. It's up to the project. Right. They're not a harm in the summer. They're just not a benefit. So we've always said, it's up to you guys. Make a schedule.
Can we plan on... You want to leave them in for the summer and just let it go and then decide if we want to keep them in for the next fall? Spring. I just don't want to.
You can't leave them in all winter.
You can't?
That's a nice problem. That's what I can do.
Okay.
I think we left them in 1 year.
And that's why they're falling apart.
I think they're going to deteriorate faster if they're in the water than if they're sitting on the deck.
Yeah, a lot of smacking in them and debris. Yeah.
For months.
All right. So sounds like we're going to move forward with a spring test, and we'll take them out as the project finds the time and
seal them in plastic like they do the haystacks.
Is everybody fine with that test? Spring test ties in?
And I wouldn't leave it up to them to take them up too late. Because if we do want to have these, if it turns out that there are some value and we want to put them back in the next year, I think they deteriorate slower on ground than in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to get them up on the beach and dry them off.
It's usually the early part of July that they pull them, June or July.
So Ben Houseman, are you hearing this?
I hear you.
Okay,
it's in the FPP
installed
still.
By March 1st.
I think you have to consider that they're fish passage structures. If we're using them, they haven't been discontinued, so you have to maintain and keep them in working order. So that's the project.
One quick question. Do we need to have them March 1st, or could they be delayed a little bit? So we don't have spring treatments anymore.
Well, yeah, but the whole idea of passage at that time of year with opening the corn collector is not for Spring Creek fish solely. It's for all the lower river fish.
Well, I hear you. I don't know if corn collector's going to be open March 1st. It's not planned on.
Well,
as much as some people may
disagree with that decision. Battle hasn't been. We're still
going to happen. I'm just saying, I don't know if March 1st is a real hard date. That's the most critical date. I'd say, get them in sometime in March.
No, it's.
I'd say if it's not, it would be helpful from our end because we have to have everything up and running by March 1st here. So even if it's a week difference, it's a big deal to us.
I'm just saying, if you get that bundle, the project with flexibility, that kind of stuff, and run around. These things are not going to be real cheap. They haven't been put in a long time, so it might take a little extra time. I'm trying to invest the project for once,
Thanks, Tom.
No problem. Leadership development. It's really
leadership class right there.
You know, I think you can go to a different meeting. You know, there's a policy meeting later.
They keep carry that into the AFF discussions too, please.
I'm not going
though.
No, wears off.
Well, they need to be in, as the fish pass plan says, unless we, do a
change form. And that would be 1st of March.
If you want to modify it, send out a change form. And do the usual coordination on it.
Sounds good.
I don't see a problem.
Good
with
update.
That. I think that's okay.
So
if you guys want to do that.
A change form.
If you want to change the date, but
right.
We're planning on putting them in for the spring test.
But to give them a range for install between like mid-February or like February 15th and March 15th, there's a window, and then probably the same window on the back end.
March 1. I mean,
they have to be in by March 1st, according to
right,
the fish
so
passage.
Right, so we're saying extend that to March 15th.
Right, that's
no later than the 15th.
Okay.
If they can get in by the first grade,
yeah.
Well, who's doing that change form? I'm not.
Well, Ben can do the change form, and as soon as he finds out if he needs it or not.
The change form is simple.
I know.
Except for the analysis.
But it sounds like there's some. It sounds like it's a little unclear on when they'll come out as well. So if the change form is going to change
the FPP is flexible on that.
It is, yeah. So
and it already covers it.
Just keep in mind you want to use them. So,
okay.
You guys.
So the change form only has to indicate the install?
Correct.
Yeah, whether you want to delay the install.
You might want to just review the removal criteria to make sure it matches what works for you, Ben.
Okay.
Oh, bring another cookie.
Bring the cookies down.
Perfect. The corner collector open in March. You guys are talking about?
Corner collector, yeah.
Yes. Is there some desire to request that it be open in March this year?
What we asked for last year, we asked for this year. Same thing. Absolutely. We're going to change that.
Well, then where are we going to have those discussions?
That's a real good question. Assuming right here.
Okay.
Just start here and then move across the floor.
It is December.
I can resend my memo. That's all the work I'm going to do.
Go ahead, change the date, resend
I thought
memo.
It was, we had a criteria, and we had a process, and it's adjustable by year by year by year. It wasn't just for that year. We have a monitoring program going on out of Bonneville. We use that monitoring program, the same criteria that I put together last year to operate this year.
So how do we feel about that monitoring program with the little flip trigger recording setup? I know they tweaked that over the course of the evaluation there.
I don't even know where they ended up at with that. It's not out there anymore. And they were doing a lot of just people sitting there watching or video monitoring.
Right.
Camera. I think that's actually what they wanted to do was to improve the camera monitoring system.
Well, I'm meeting with those guys tomorrow and can bring it up and talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anywhere, the criteria right now, right?
Well, it's written
on it's not a fish passage plan requirement. So that's why I'm bringing it up. This is something that we want
well, that depends on how you define that, Scott. The fish passage plan says the fish passage season is March 1 through November 30th. And the corner collector has always been used as a fish passage device. Well, okay, that's one perspective, but there's other perspective too.
I'm not weighing in either side, and so I think as a group we need to frame up the issue, say how we're going to use criteria. Well, we don't have the monitoring; they took the tallywhacker out.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we'll figure that out. That's not the issue. The issue is the criteria. If we have monitoring, which we will, and it will be as good as it was last year or better. And it's based on a number of fish. And if we have better monitoring, so much the better. Are those criteria that I put together last year, are they sufficient for, I think they were overly, I haven't been over backwards, the BPA on this one. Still got such a fish, so.
not too happy about it, but they are what they are. You know, we really didn't go down the road, I don't think, logically, looking at that. We just wouldn't put policy hoo-ha on.
It was a weekly comments call that I would sit on.
Well, you know, it always can go to that if we don't get a good job, do a good job in our group.
I thought that, you're saying that my memo wasn't a good job, but I thought it was a pretty good job.
Well, we need to change form. We need to modify the fish pass. Immortalized is what I'm bringing up.
I think the point here it isn't the quality of your memo. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is we have a fish passes plan, and Dave, I think you just said too, there's maybe different levels of interpretation of what we're doing, but the point is there are different levels of expectations, which means it's not concrete, it's not clear exactly what's being implemented this year, and so we do. Well, whatever we decide is going to be implemented, we do need to make clear in the fish passage plan. I think that's the point.
So let's pull out the old memo, dust it off.
Or maybe even more, if you want to put together a change form.
And send it around for review.
Yeah, I mean, the fish passage plan is what we implement. And so if the language in there doesn't match our level of expectation of what's going to be implemented, we need a change form to make sure the plan matches our level of expectation of what's going to be implemented. That's the point.
I'm trying to remember what we did last year in changing it. Was there a change form?
We didn't do a change form. No, we weekly called and we let it slip. It's our job to put a fine point on it and make it a policy. Put it in our document.
I thought it was a fine point. We just didn't do a change form.
I think that's all it was.
But that's our job. If you want, I'll make a change.
But that's, yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Make a change form.
A very simple technique. Yeah.
Not good at that, eh?
No, of course
it is. I mean, you've already got everything else lined up right now. All you need to do is put it in form.
So if it's in the fish passage plan, it's law.
Well, it is. And so then once we have to change form, once the policy gang adopts it, the Corps approves it, and then on it goes.
So which one's going to get less disagreement? The fact that the corn collector is viewed as fish bypass facilities have spill, is that a better check to take? Or to say, hey, the corn collector needs to be open by March 1st, if it meets a certain criteria that FBOM came up with? I mean, what's the better check? Visualize the two paths to the change form. We can do both. And the quality will pick which one I want to go with. I don't really care.
It'll fall back under what credit they're going to get for the steel like that. That's the whole kind of thing from the top.
Do you know how much credit you guys already got for that steel passage?
6%.
Yeah.
So we're done?
Yeah, we're nowhere near the That is a joke.
Come on. That 6% is a little.
You guys need to be stretching for that. But that's the main issue. That's where the policy part
is. I guess.
What I could do is try to put that dust off my memo and try to make sure it's in the right format, which is all we're talking about here, just format.
It's not substance.
Well, we know that won't happen. But at least I'll just waste my time, put it together again, and send it out there. The Dells will do it all over again.
It's probably some good life a lot.
I get tired of that.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so who's taking the lead on drafting the change form? All right. Add that to our action items. Boy, that was a long 3.4. 3.5, Bonneville JMF upper switchgate seal mods.
I spoke to Cordy about the balloon seals they put upriver, and he says currently they leak as bad as the ones they replaced. So until that's better, we're certainly not going down that road here. But yeah, we're going to wait and see. They're going to look at it. They think they're not sure if it's the seal itself or if it's just space at the end, but he says, you know, in his opinion, it's just as much water from before.
Now, just a point on that. I talked to Dean when I was out at Bonneville last month, and he said he was getting shad. The switchgate was in the bypass position, so most of the fish were going back to the direct to the river, but he was getting shad coming under the gate and in the sample side of that thing, along with the leakage. So there are fish going through it. I know shad are thin and, you know, near the size of a salmon. I doubt that we were getting any salmon larger than fry through it, but we probably, there's no doubt that fry can go through it.
Is it
Yeah. Yeah, this time in November. But solar fry, and fry tend to like the wiggle and things like that. So that's always been my concern about that particular gate, is that we can have fries.
So
what
do
you
think
about
that gate?
Well, yeah, you know, that was a discussion. All I'm saying is fix it. I'm not the engineer. I'm just the biologist. I don't like to see fish going where they shouldn't be going.
I'm just the biologist. So fix it.
Just a biologist. And we don't have any engineering staff, unfortunately. So. And you can do more than that.
It's recorded. Okay. Any other discussion on that?
But where do we go from here, from our end? I mean, we don't want to go and make the same mistake they've made upriver. If that's going to be worse, but we don't have an alternative that I know of. Do we just go district engineers? Is that our next?
You know, the thing really needs to be redesigned. I think that's a problem, is we have needs that just don't seal like they should have in the first place. It really is. It goes back to the design of those gates from square one. I mean, it's the same problem with the John Day. And they just don't work well. I mean, they work fine for moving the bulk of the flow, but although that lower switch gate doesn't, I don't know why it's so good and the front of the upper one isn't.
Maybe the Flubin's boat.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are the things to look at.
The lower one leaks, just not
very,
as
very
much.
I mean, just a little bit.
But that's where we had originally put in the plywood, and the rock dam was down there because of the leakage.
And I don't see the leakage.
We don't move it very often either.
True.
The plywood and rock dam? Because you ran out of duct tape or what?
That got washed out.
Okay. I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to see more sandbags in the
room. Why does one work and the other one not?
I don't know.
They're both the same design. So,
built by the same guys.
Is it a boat underneath, or I don't think it is, because I don't see it leak from one side or the other in the middle worse than it leaks all the way across. The gate, the hinge itself leaks a little bit.
Yeah, from the nose.
So, I mean, it shouldn't leak to the level of losing fish. But I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but it's your guys' gate. It shouldn't leak. I'm not going to solve it.
Just a simple fish.
Just going to point to it. Just a biologist. Paddle wheel. Give me an idea.
Well, is this something that we can, without, I was just going to ask Byrne, but can we get an engineer or someone to take a look at this? Is there funding?
We've had several people look at it over the years. We put the plates over the top. Ron Ridge looked at it, and he came out with the plates so that fish wouldn't be intentionally trying to go underneath it. And I think it should be on the winter maintenance list to get the seals along the bottom replaced.
I mean, there's been times when it works not too bad, and then it gets worse.
Well, when those rubber seals are along the bottom and they're riveted in really tight, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens then.
It's up to you guys.
It works for a while, so
never. Well, yeah, see, and that's it. When it starts to move, when you start moving that switch gate more often, it wears that out a lot quicker.
But that doesn't operate that many times a year.
During the summer, it does.
Does it?
When we have temperature criteria, we're moving it every other day.
We're not going to lose any fish in the summer. I'm not as worried about that. Some of the other things are going to go through there. It's fry.
Yes, but when you're moving in the summer, you're moving it and wearing everything out.
So then fix it in the winter so that it works through the spring, and then wear it out and fix it.
Is that an expensive fix each year?
It's just a rubber.
It's just some neoprene and some mechanics.
Rivets and some rivets. Strapping.
Have you guys thought about trying something more of a, something you could like slide in and out fairly quickly?
That's the replacement time.
And for it to increase your playing time, so if you decide this was something you could do in season if you had to.
Well, this thing, I mean, to fix that, is it probably takes a guy an hour.
Yeah, they just rivets. Get in there and pull it off and put it back on.
Really? Really?
Those guys work pretty good down there on the monitoring facility. They're quick to respond to a TR.
Okay. So that'll happen this winter.
Ben, is it on the winter maintenance list?
It is.
Then it will happen this winter.
Okay.
So we may be okay with that. Because there are times when it doesn't.
Yeah, just annotate that we want to be able to remember how it worked this year and discuss it. At some later time.
Do is like we say, hey,
places every year.
Yeah, places once a year or twice a year.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's going to happen this year. And sounds like it's likely going to happen about every year.
It's just a bad design, but until somebody has a better idea, regular maintenance is all
yep. Okay. Got it. 3.6, Dell's AWS backup.
Auxiliary
water.
Cordy sent me a message on this.
System or supply. I've heard it both ways.
Surprise.
Whatever
you want.
Surprise.
Well,
I'm trying to help someone refine that. Oasis water supply. AWS, and I said it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Surprise.
One of those.
I don't remember what Cordy had sent me, but I think this is still being looked at. So it hasn't been totally forgotten.
Okay, so we'll...
He wanted it brought back up.
We'll update this update next month.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. 3.7, Greg's going to get you up to speed on Little Goose bulkheads.
North Powerhouse entrance number 3 and North Shore entrance number 3 are closed off entrances. Remember right, they're cement bulkheads. Through the years... There's a rubber seal that held them in place also. It's deteriorated, it's gone, stuff like that. You heard this summer from the MPE3 due to the excess of water coming down Spill Bay 1. It shook the weir itself, or the bulkhead itself, and it really rattled it really bad. The top third of it has collapsed and disappeared. Wow. It allowed a lot of water coming in. To
if you remember, this was briefed here.
You know.
We knew that there was a problem, and we decided to not fix it during spill season, just because it didn't seem to be causing a problem for adult fish, and it didn't seem worth shutting off the TSW.
But they had to make some changes in the North Shore weir. Yeah, dead and differential all the way through the summer. Yeah, a little goose. But two non-used entrances. So we asked for inspection of that bulkhead number 3, for last week, and we got that approved rep form last month. They couldn't get to it last week, and they're actually doing it today. They're looking at the NP3 today and see what's going to go forward. Plans right now.
Neither is number 2.
They want to look and see how actually they can remove that.
Dave has a question.
No, I was just trying to locate those on this diagram, and since they're closed, I assume they're not listed here.
They should be listed, I think.
There's no NPE3 and no SNSE3.
NPE3 faces.
Into the both of these face into the spillway.
West into the spillway.
So number 3 would be right over here somewhere.
Yeah, right at.
We filled most of those.
Yeah, we filled them in with concrete.
Right.
It was planned that these things definitely did not move fish through them or something like that, or fish were trapped through them
already.
Yeah, right there and right there. Good.
Okay.
But this is the both 3.
I don't think we've ever used those, Greg. As long as I've been around.
Well, they're open for some reason for some time. I don't know why, but they've been closed off. Whatever. But of course, they're rattling in their slots, of course. And then, of course, we put a TS or an ESW, what do we want to call it this year, into that thing, and it's really shucking it bad. And we also put a deflector in spill bay number 8 this year also, and that created real shaky conditions on the other shore, plus also monsoonal conditions over there, too, at the same time. So there will be...
local weather,
especially in the summer months. But in, what they're planning on doing is bringing out an Army team, dive team here, about the end of February to look and see what they can do actually for assisting removing the bulkheads and replacing them there. Plan forward, if they can't remove the bulkheads, they can't get the bulkheads in there or whatnot, they intend on putting a, potentially putting a metal plate up against the side of the dam to prevent the water from escaping and going back and forth. Be a temporary fix. That's all it's going to be, just a temporary fix and then go through the fish passage season.
When you say a metal plate,
maybe about 3/4 inch thick.
Is that on the outside of the spillway or on the inside?
It'd be easiest put on the outside.
Port the spillway.
Yeah, into the spill bay.
So we're going to have some kind of an edge there.
It may have an edge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you'll have a sharp edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With high velocity spillway testing.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. And bolts, bolt heads.
And bolt heads and stuff like that. Yeah. They can chamfer it.
Yeah.
It's not going to take it off.
If it's 3/4 inch steel, which is going to have to be, that's going to be huge.
Oh, it's a big. It's big. It's got to be big.
Yeah.
But there's nobody else doing cast in place or something. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. If you can cast in place and just fill in the bolt, fill it in so the film concrete all the way up.
Boy, that'd be nice casting in place. If we want to say, yeah, that's it for the. That's for the weird.
Because
we haven't had
it. The side next to the TSX.
You can always, somewhere 50 years ago, you can take it out. Okay. Yeah. For now. Then they don't bang. You don't get that.
Yeah, you won't get the bang because, you know, the rubber seal or whatever they use, you know, rots after a period of time.
If you fill it in, you don't have any.
Yep.
Well, that's a good thought.
Yeah. So
that's a path forward, you know. But
if we can just fill them in permanently, that's everyone's okay with that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Bill.
I want more discussion on this. This is very important. That's where many fish are passing out of Bay One there now. We really want smooth surface as much as we can along there. So
right.
So filling it in permanently.
But yeah, filling it in permanently. I just want some quality engineering attention paid to this.
Sure. Mm. That's all we do, Bill.
Yeah.
It is cool.
This isn't something that F Pump can decide on an hour phone call.
Sure.
I'd like to get some reports from Sean Mulligan about this. Some of the engineers that I respect up there about the best way to fix this so that we don't damage fish passage at all.
Okay. Well, I think we're all in agreement with that, Bill.
Yeah,
I think
the question that
came around was, is this a fix that can allow us to remove a bulkhead in the future if we want to, or make it a permanent fix?
Yeah, that's the question.
So that was the real question we started talking on.
And we understand if we do the permanent fix, we would have to do it in a way that doesn't create any edges. We would make sure it's nice and smooth. But if we do that, are you okay with that being a permanent smooth fix?
Yeah, all I know about this is what I said is I don't recall for the time I've been involved with Little Goose we ever using those, wanting to open those, use those for anything. So from what I know, there's no problem with a permanent fix, but I want to just be sure that there's other people that have been around longer that for some reason there is some need for this that we haven't. We're not aware of.
Okay.
Good idea, Bill.
Call Dave Hurst.
Yeah, we can
say call Dave Hurst.
Call him up and ask him.
Call the encyclopedia.
We will. Okay. He calls every week.
And more of a Fitterwig engineering discussion, too, isn't it?
Well, there's really no engineering. It's just
matter of boarding it up.
Well, there is, structural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Structural.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's engineering involved here, Gary.
Probably geotech in it and all that. So, yeah, we can do that. We can do that, Bill. He's an engineer. But, yeah, that's
still in a slot.
Well, it's our decision as
top passage route we're talking about. Bordering on the top passage route.
Permanent or temporary.
Careful what we're doing.
Replace the bulkhead. Yeah. Either permanent or replace the bulkhead.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
That we can understand.
Yeah. We'll go down this path of checking into... talking to some folks within the district, get some other input, but right now, tentatively going down the path of a permanent closure. But we want to make sure we're doing it right, and so we'll bring this back to FBOM.
Yeah, check with Hersopedia.
You want to go to 3.8, Greg?
Yeah. With this monsoon weather, the getting on the North Shore has gotten into the electrics of the North. What is it? North Shore entrance weir number one controls. It shorted them out, and what it actually did is it dropped the North Shore weir down to sill level. Lost the cables, it rotted out, you know, the typical bad news story. But that's not the worst of it yet.
Oh, he's better?
That's the good news.
You remember about 4 years ago, the other side. We got unspooled, and the operator sat there and watched it get unspooled, and it got unspooled, and it really unspooled, and busted the wheel there, too, and it took about a year to get that fixed. This one's even worse than that.
Excellent.
Excellent. This actually moved the operator off position, warped it, it shorted, it's all in pieces. There's no off-the-shelf piece to be found in the country. So... they intend to do with the Navy divers again, or the Army divers come up, actually bring the weir up, close off the entrance, and we run through the summer that way. That's about the only situation we can. We'll keep one entrance open, one entrance open until we get this thing remanufactured, replaced, repaired.
Is there any way to get, like, a just station out of a mobile crane?
Not a mobile crane, nothing like that. What we did 4 years ago, we made a temporary A-frame, and that temporary A-frame, we were able to jack it up and move it down, but then just before we were getting close to the summer, the cable itself also, because of the natural weirs, the cable back and forth from that clevis dropped it right down to a sill level also. So, yeah, that's all I can suggest on that one.
Well, ancient structure.
Ancient structures. Mm-hmm. They will be pursuing a replacement repair of an operator and dehumidifying the area.
Yes, it's going to be like a museum or so.
I would think so.
The entire season, basically.
Entire season. Put that on record.
And that's our goose.
Goose works so well for passing the dust, too. So yeah. If you get like this, it's
probably a few more interested in that.
So if we can start looking again to May next year, end of May, 1st of June next year, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so you'll have one gate.
Mm. That's it. Yeah, one gate.
Yep.
Just leaving it still?
You know, they may, you know, I remember adjusting that weir myself a few times in that summer months, and so we probably might adjust it
by eyeballs.
That's all we can do.
You can still pull up the crane, right?
No, well, we don't have a crane out there. We don't have any way of pulling it up and down. They look like some sort of manual, operated by hand.
Come along. A very heavy duty.
They're really super duper heavy duty, and it's extremely, you know, hazardous. But I think they did and were able to do it. They had to lower, I think, crane down to that location to get things to move back and forth. No, not at that location. I mean, they lowered it from actually the dam itself down to it. Yeah, perfectly. Floating crane's the only other option.
Without spill, of course.
Yeah, and then we got spill going on, so that slows that idea.
Okay.
But you could dog it off.
Yeah, we can dog it off.
So
we can dog it, maybe something where we'll feel that it's about a foot, maybe a jet, maybe a foot to 2 foot entrance. differential, something like that, maybe. So give it a shot.
That's what I'm saying, just
like dog on the front. So
you just get something on
the head.
Well, yeah, that'd be fine.
I'd
do that.
They operated, I think, for the past couple of weeks. It just dropped about 3 weeks ago, from what I understood. It dropped about 3 weeks ago. And they've been operating with one wire closed, NSC 2 closed, to compensate for it. Two entrances right there at the North Tower, North Shore. Right. Two entrances there. They're right next to each other.
This is one.
And this is one of them. Right.
So I guess the best would be to dog this the inoperable one off.
Yeah.
At a level where you have some head, it could even have a half a foot of head.
Any.
So that when the tailwater drops, you get more, but you never get so much head that you dodge.
Rob, this guy here, you know, at all.
So you have nothing WS flow to actually supply it.
Because this one still can operate, from what I understand.
Yeah. So that would regulate. Does. This one would be stationary, but would be at high tailwaters would be maybe half a foot ahead, but at low tailwater, it would have a foot and a half.
Maybe about a foot, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
so.
No head.
So we'll.
There's an analysis you guys can do that could come up with a sort of a fixed point for what is it, SC?
NSC.
NSC 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the other one's NSC 2.
Right.
So you would regulate, you'd always want to make sure you had criteria head on 2, but you could have either no head to some maximum head on the other, at least at the end.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do a little more analysis on this and come back with next F-bomb with the recommendation of
where to dog
it off.
Yeah.
But
to even dog it off, you're going to have to lower some kind of thing to lift it, or?
Yeah, we're going to have to get something down there to lift it.
Can you float something in to do that?
I'm trying to remember the day that we dropped the other thing in. It's not floating. It's they did it right there on shore. Oh, I know. We used the old operator. So something's going to have to come down. Something's going to have to be there to lift this thing up.
Yeah, sure.
Something
will. You have to take a floating barge in there. Or
a crane or something like that.
They drop plenty of them sitting around.
They drop from the...
Dallas floating barge.
Yeah, we'll just borrow one. Fire upstream. On a barge.
You have some down at the Dallas.
Yeah, on a barge. We have barges.
Yeah, they got lots of them.
Okay. Well, we'll revisit this later with some more information, but just...
Sounds like this is not a bad situation.
I think we managed it in 2005 pretty good.
Look at your tailwater and ratings and where you're at this year.
I think I remember adjusting about 2 times during the summer, if I remember right. So we'll go back to those years, that year 2005.
Tailwater should be pretty costly.
It is, pretty much.
Yeah.
Just how costly? If it's really dry or just kind of dry? Or, where's that point?
Okay.
Are we going to get this repaired by next March?
Are we? We'll try what we can do. You know, Bill, I can't promise anything.
The thing is, we did some real studies of that controls the water flow on the collection channel to the shore. The amount of water that's going out those entrances. So. If you're modifying that, then you're going to modify the velocity in that collection channel that goes along the spillway and gets fish over to the one ladder at Little Goose. Mm-hmm. I just would like the people that did that study of the Little Goose system to be involved in this so that we don't end up by next spring with something that it isn't as good as what we've had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. We'll get some folks pulled in on this.
We're very knowledgeable about the Little Goose system. Sean did a lot of hydraulic tests about 7 years ago or so, or 6 years ago. I'd like those people to be involved here.
Yeah, we'll do that, Bill.
I'll get a little Sean.
Okay. We are now moving on to agenda item 4, lamprey mods. FPOM providing feedback on a list of proposed modifications.
And Cordy had sent word that they are moving forward with, let me get to the lamprey mods so I know this, with the dowels number 3, 4, and 7. And they're getting a contract for concrete cutters to grind 2-inch radiuses on the 90-degree corners on the floor, which got district hydraulics approval. So that's an update.
Wait, so you said 3, 4, and 7 are being done?
Yeah. And number...
On the south, on the east?
For the east, and then for the north, number 3.
Number 3. Okay. You said something about rounding some edges?
They're going to get a concrete cutter to grind a 2-inch radius on the 90-degree corners on the floor.
Okay, I don't...
That's not...
Am I not reading it here? Or am I missing it?
I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
He wrote that right after the Dallas North number 3. David, do you have any additional information? Clugston is ignoring me. Do you have any more information on what their 2-inch radius, that was brought up last month, wasn't it? What they're grinding?
In the North Dallas North ladder? Are they grinding the edges?
I haven't talked to them for a while.
Well, they're rounding edges, whatever they're doing.
North ladder.
On all 90-degree corners in the ladder?
I don't know.
That's what he wrote.
Or just the entrance, the lower entrance. I don't know. Maybe just get that clarified for an update next time.
It says 90-degree corners on the floor.
Where does it say
the north ladder? It's not on there.
Oh.
This is an email he sent as an update because he couldn't attend.
90-degree corners on
the floor of the Dalles North ladder. They're getting a contract to grind a 2-inch radius to take the 90-degree corner off.
Was that the first little thing they go over?
Yeah. So in the Dalles North ladder, Clugger.
Yeah.
You're not in China anymore.
I think we should clarify.
Oh, you got a Chinese Rolex?
Rolex?
Oh, fancy.
from China?
$2?
$2. Don't go around, though.
That's correct, 2 times a day.
Absolutely.
It's time there.
All right, well, we'll clarify that one.
So it sounds like folks are okay with 3, 4, 7, and 3 with what's there, and we'll clarify additional items.
So, and just another question, I guess. Were the rest of these items things that could be done or should be done?
Those are ones that should be done.
Should be done.
And
okay.
We're looking for FPOM comments on them if there were any that you had issues with.
Okay, so these are all planned for.
And these are all things that could be done in the future. Were the only ones
next year.
The only ones that are above the cut line for this year are 3, 4, 7.
Gotcha.
And then the number 3.
On the east.
On the east.
And what's the other one?
What? And then 3 on Dallas North.
On the north.
Right?
Okay, when did this come out? I missed this.
Last month.
It came out last month.
And we decided to give you a month to review it and provide comments.
All right. Guilty as charged.
I didn't look at it. I didn't even remember it.
But it's even in the action item.
Yeah.
It's been a busy month.
It has been a busy month, I agree.
But this is the fruit of the folks working on the Lamprey team coming up with a list of sort of a wish list of things that can be done to improve Lamprey Passage. The ones we just highlighted are ones that are being done this year.
Okay, terrific.
When you get time, look at it, and if you have concerns about any of them, let us know.
Otherwise, tentatively, this is the list they're going to attack.
Yeah.
Oh, you made pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty. In color.
Can you send them to me electronically?
Ah, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We're done with Lamprey? All right. We are, I'm passing around some photos. Bill,
After the Lamprey mods, there's a section that says Lamprey grading. Were we supposed to do something with that?
That's where the Lamprey grading could be replaced. Those are the problem areas.
Okay. No decisions on that today?
So if we're going to the 3/4 inch... kind of the summary and where it might get the most benefit.
Okay.
So these priority things, are they going to...
What happened is Lamprey Task Group got together and they put together a list of areas where they could replace gradings, some of the history of where they found Lamprey under the gradings, and other Lamprey modifications that could be made. These aren't necessarily organized in priority, but these are just put down.
None have been funded yet.
This is stuff that, as they do O&M, some of the simple stuff they could get done, some of it might be more extensive and need special funding.
Okay.
Good?
All right, thank you.
Okay, so moving on to agenda item 5, and Bill, I apologize, these pictures weren't, I didn't email them out. But there are pictures of the lower granite kelt upgrades to the existing JFF.
Oh, okay.
And so, basically, it's something that I think people are aware of, but then I looked back on past agendas and realized I don't think I've really formally briefed people on where we're at right now with this kelt upgrade. So, basically, this, it was like September...
August 1st.
Yeah, August of 09. We're looking at, we're going to be using the lower granite JFF in 2010, 2011, and then where we go from there, is up in the air as far as a new lower granite JFF. So the thought was, there is a need to collect kelt. There's the CritFic funded project by BPA. So we need to collect kelt, and like last year there was a few kelt collected just from the separator and then 5-gallon buckets where you're carrying buckets downstairs with a kelt in them. Well, that's obviously not a good long-term strategy or even a good strategy for a year. And so what we did is sort of rather than just sit around and wait for a thumbs up or thumbs down on the kelt facilities with the new JFF at Lower Granite, we thought, well, what can we do to at least improve ways that we handle kelt at Lower Granite? Yeah, and so that we're not putting fish at risk and we're not putting, wearing people out carrying buckets filled with water and fish downstairs. That's just not a safe working environment. So, starting in end of September, there was just a small amount, like a few thousand dollars of CRIFM funds that we're able to use to at the end of the fiscal year to purchase some some just the basic supplies, basically long run of PVC pipe, and then we started started installation of this upgrade. And so the picture's in front of you, and Bill, I'll email these to you, and we can talk on the phone if you want a little more detail. But you can see, like, the first picture that you have is this small bin. It's literally like two or three steps from the separator.
That's the separator.
Yeah, the separator, if you're looking at this picture, the separator would be on your right. And so it's literally two or three steps from the separator. You net a kelt and put it in this bin. And this is sloped enough so that the kelt will just go to the left on this picture and down the long run of pipe. Next picture.
It doesn't matter if it's heads or tails either.
It's a fairly slow thing, I assume.
It's fairly slow.
Not too slow
that it'll swim back up.
There's no slope.
And so that's what you see. The second picture is just the long run of pipe. All of this is then leading to the end of the JFF that's closest to the powerhouse, as you can see.
The pipe market shooting.
Yeah, the pipe market
shooting. Yes.
I like that. We're going to put that sticker on.
Then on the third page, you see right now, we just... CritFix says that they are talented and they've got athletes that can catch fish, and so we took them at their word.
We must have been hiring someone new today, because I've seen that crew. Come shoot out the end up there.
So we obviously
where
are.
Where does that go?
Where does that go?
Yeah,
because well, it's obviously not complete yet. The picture beneath it are the concrete pads that have been poured. Mm-hmm. There, and if you look on the last page, there's the kelt tank that's being constructed at U of I. So it's actually quite a large. There's going to be, I think, two of them, two large tanks.
Yeah.
And I think what was.
That door doesn't look big enough to get it out of.
Hey, that's U of I's problem.
Is this a ship in a bottle?
Yeah. So anyway, there are two large tanks. You can see some of the concrete work that's already been done. Those two tanks will go on this new concrete pad. And this pipe will be routed in a gradual slope, not just a cut-off pipe, into those tanks.
The tanks can be divided so they can do whatever management style they want to do with it.
What's the diameter of that pipe?
10-inch.
10-inch. 10-inch pipe. So, you know, do we think this is the perfect solution? No, but it's certainly a lot better than 5-gallon buckets.
No, I mean, if you ever got a better way to get the fish from the separator to the bin, that's the last piece of the puzzle.
This was the big problem.
Close enough to toss them.
Yeah. you guys try to get them off the separator?
Yeah. Is it that difficult, huh?
Well, there's almost no water. The fish just slide all over the place.
Yeah.
They're whacking the back gate. I mean,
it's not good.
Okay.
I mean, when I went up there at Powell and tried to do that, I just laughed my ass off going, this is a great way to treat fish.
So all you're saying is that 6% sliding.
I never said 6% to begin with.
It is what it is. It may be less.
That's the first stage.
Unobtainable.
It's a joke. You have to spend some money.
So anyway,
I'm really appreciative that you guys are moving forward on this, because it's always been kind of a burn to my saddle. How we get the fish off the separator, man, this is definitely a step in that direction.
Yeah. Good.
So,
I mean, that little tank moved from a little cement tank to the end of the separator there, you know, last year.
I just got a good chuckle out of that.
Yeah, the cement tank. I mean, gosh, it was not a good picture.
So, anyway.
From three swimming pools to this.
Yeah, this is certainly an upgrade over what we have. Questions on exactly what the plan is once they're collected.
Actually, Ran Chung sent out that proposal that we sent it to the EPA. He said that it's the SCT.
Right. We did? Good.
Okay.
Good. It's only 26 pages. It's a good snoozer.
Good.
Really?
Yeah.
Randy sent that out?
Yes. Sent that out, gosh, I guess it was a week ago.
Because
I expected my email system. I haven't finished going through. I was gone that week last week.
So, anyway, this. So it's obviously not totally complete yet, but it's close. Okay.
Well, we're done with remodeling the Lower Granite.
We're done with the remodel, hey.
Facility, yeah. Then, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
We don't need extra water, do we? A fish bath.
Well, yeah. Oh, no, the extra water we need. Well, apparently that's.
Yeah, so that's the next agenda item. Is Lower Granite fish trap adult water supply. And so you probably saw the email that I sent out, but basically, you know, I don't want to oversell this, but it went really well. It was really couldn't have asked for a better outcome of that day.
Something to break.
I mean, I went there. Our commander had asked me the day before. He said, "So, is this going to fix the problem?" And I said, no, probably not, but this is the next step. And so I was really setting the bar low, and we actually crossed it, cleared it.
You tripped right over it.
Yeah. So I guess a couple things here. One is the installation of the valve itself went really well. And I was concerned looking at the numbers of steelheads still passing. I mean, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it was hundreds.
Yeah. It's finally dropped down below that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hundreds. And so I was really concerned. if we recall, we had this discussion last month where, to kind of, I guess, relieve some of my concerns, we gave Mike Holter sort of the authority to be out of the project to say, hey, there's just too many fish, and we can't dewater this ladder in a way that's going to protect fish. And so we did that because I thought there was a good chance we wouldn't even get this done because of the number of fish. But I think what was critical was shutting those fish pumps off, because they went to dewater the ladder and it went perfectly, which is odd.
So we didn't have many fish, because I remember they said you guys could shut it off the night before and all that.
They basically had just a couple fish remaining in the ladder.
Yeah.
Which, so to me, the take home on this is, And this is one thing that Greg and I discussed yesterday. We didn't fully resolve it, but we want to review the fish passage plan to make sure that we capture this. And we haven't really gone in. There might be some places where this is already alluded to, which is when you're going to dewater,
some
shut off the...
Other salvage plans that we have going on. I mean, it's written in those salvage plans. We, you know, shut off pumps and stuff like that, but is it in the fish passage plan, or is it needed to be there?
But the point is, the shutting off those pumps, like, what was it, 36 hours before we started, I think was the key to this, because there were almost no fish in the ladder. And so the actual install of the valve dewatering the ladder went really well. And then I went out there the next day with Sean Milligan and you know, immediately went and turned on some water down at the adult trap. And for the first time ever, we had enough water to operate all six of those tanks, and there's a spray bar that you sprays water and gets fish out of there when they're done handling the adults. And what Darren Ogden told me was they could never operate more than three, and the first thing to go was the water spraying out of that spray bar. And so the fact that all six tanks were operating with enough water and we had water at the spray bar was like, wow, this is good. And but we were, our four bay elevation, let's see, it was like 2 or 2.5 feet above MOP, so 735. And so then the thought was, as you recall, these tanks were never, all six tanks were never designed to operate at MOP. It was always six tanks, according to the model, were supposed to operate when we were 1.3 above MOP. And so we started going from, I believe it was 735, and just slowly worked, you know, the four bay was dropping throughout the day. And there were a number of reasons why I won't get into, but the lowest, we got down to 734.2, which according to the model, at 734.3, is the limit. So 734.2, according to the model, probably shouldn't have enough water to operate all six tanks. but we did. So that's as much of the good news story as we know. We know that down to 734.2, we can operate all six tanks. We didn't carry the test out all the way down to MOP, but that'll be, you know, we'll know that soon. when it's watered up in the spring, when we're at MOP, we'll instantly be able to tell how many tanks we can operate. So we'll learn that then, but the good news is that now the what we should have in the model and what's happening on the ground are matching. We're at least as good as what the model says we should be, which is really good news.
Were you able to look inside the valve and see if it was the valve not open?
Yeah. Here, there's two things. Yeah. There was some level of, you know, it's a butterfly valve, so if the pipe is running from me to Rick, the butterfly valve, you couldn't tell when it was 100% full-on open. So you could overshoot that. But I think much more than that was simply just the design of this valve. The valve, it's an original valve. And it was shocking to me when I went and looked at this thing. If the pipe, you know, it's a 36-inch pipe, the valve itself obstructed probably about a third of
that open area.
The open area. And so, you know, we ran that ROV in there looking for an obstruction that could be about a third of the pipe being obstructed. Well, there's the valve. So the obstruction was the valve. It's kind of what it seems like the take-home is, along with over-rotating.
You put in a new one then, or what?
Put in a new valve with a slimmer profile.
Does it have a mark on it so you know it's fully open?
Yes. Now, and there's a gauge on there that when it's fully open, you know exactly when it's fully open. And so, yeah, it's everything went, I don't know, it just went better than expected. And so, not I'm sure that something else will happen later.
The take-home is be sure to set the bar low.
So, anyway, we should now have put to bed this discussion. The only thing remaining will be how many tanks we can operate at MOP. And is that going to be enough for the needs come... you know, the second half of August.
Well, it comes down to, like, are we going to keep transporting like we have? Like, have trucks, a couple trucks running a day? Are we still willing to do that? That's going to be some of that discussion.
Yeah. But at least now it's not, it's operating according to the design. And then we're just to work within those constraints. So,
good right. job, well done.
Well, hey, you know,
we get to turn a page on this agenda.
And the nice thing is,
Tim?
Yes.
Bill, Tim, these are two things that we've had to live with problems with for probably 5 years: the poor kelp handling at the facility, and this lack of water. And it's probably at least 5 years. Both of these have been kind of pains in the butt. What's going on at Lower Granite now that these things are all of a sudden getting fixed? Is there some different managers working out there?
On my weekly Herson call, I let him know that it was had to do with that transition. It finally
changed. Yeah.
Herson's gone.
Ainsley, we're getting these things fixed that have been problems for years. Yeah.
Well, I, honestly, for me, this valve issue, it never hit, and whether it should have or not is another story, but it never hit my radar screen until Fitterwig, like, about a year ago, when I think Jerry Harmon said something to the effect of, because I said, according to the model, when you go 1.3 above MOP, we should have enough water to operate all six tanks. And I think Jerry's comment was something along the lines of, I don't care if you flood Lewiston, you're not going to have enough water to operate all six tanks. Yeah. And so that was new to me because, from my perspective, we went to 1.3 above MOP. Before that, I was getting tons of phone calls. After that, all my phone calls stopped, and it seemed to solve the problem. Well, it didn't solve the problem, it was just... people got sick of calling me. And so it wasn't until October of last year that I even was aware that this was a problem. And so the reason why we couldn't put this valve in last winter maintenance period was we couldn't access it. There was no platform to get out there to safely switch out the valve. Yeah. And so, now the platform got completed end of October. And so that just happened like a month and a half ago. And once the platform was completed, then, you know, we brought it to FPAW and we coordinated an outage of the ladder and got it done. So, and from my perspective, once we actually identified the problem, which to me didn't happen until October of 08, to now, we solved it because we identified the problem, we got the platform built so we could solve, or at least take a step forward towards solving the problem, and then we did it. So that was one big thing that I don't know why that didn't happen before, but it took time to identify and really chart out a clear path forward on that one. And then what was the other one?
The account facility.
Oh,
Alan Evans, this was probably 5 years ago, having to transport those counts in buckets when he was doing the study. And we wanted, even back then, we wanted something that was better. And, no amount of complaining could get anything done about it.
I don't know.
Now it's getting fixed.
Why?
It's the Fisher Corps.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think. I just think this is one that. I don't know.
Actually, the buyout.
I didn't really know about the problem either until.
Is the take home message just to call you a lot?
No, that's not the take home message.
Okay, auto call.
Auto dial. Thank you. Continue.
7125.
Yeah. Tim was thinking.
I think you're having a good positive influence out there at the dams. That's what's happening.
I don't know about that, but. We are getting stuff done. That's right. That's why Rick's here. Okay. Now moving on to number 7, McNairy ESBS installation. So Gary sent out a memo on this. You know, it's sort of a mixture of a technical recommendation and a policy call. I mean, I think this is an appropriate discussion for FPALM. I don't think we should just kick this and say it's someone else's decision. FPALM exists to make decisions like this. And so, like it or not, we're going to have to make a decision on what date to install ESBSs. So I guess before we get to that, the end point is we need a decision on what dates we're going to put in. But Gary, can you are you willing to walk us through your memo and share some thoughts?
I've heard this thing since
a year ago.
Have people looked at it and read it? I hope everybody.
I've not.
Nobody.
I looked at it.
And that's put until the next meeting
2 weeks ago, and I haven't read it.
Well, I mean,
I wasn't. It comes down to how many fish do you want to kill? Because from day one on, you will kill salmon if you don't put screens in. It's the difference between turbine survival and bypass survival, which is fairly dramatic. My final analysis is about 1,300 fish of each species will die if you take the full 2 weeks to install, and I modeled out an install of units or of screens, 2 units a day from the start to the end, and I think it was a 5-day period, whatever it took. But it was about the last screens when it would go in on Wednesday, the 14th of April, which I think is within the project's speed of putting these things in, 2 a day.
That's
what happened last year, basically. So that's what I modeled. And I left in the hatchery releases that occurred over that 10-year record of passage that I used. If I take those hatchery releases out, I cut these numbers in about in half. Now, one of those releases, I think it was a steel release, was in 2000, or a long time ago, but the Chinook release happened 2 years ago. So, probably that wouldn't happen, but my concern is, and I don't have
I have just my thoughts and experience on this, that these fish that we're seeing early in the season are probably wild fish. They're probably not just hatchery fish. This is very early in the season, except for those big release periods where we had obvious hatchery releases. So I've talked with our lawyers about this. I just had a correspondence with Mark Ames yesterday. And his question was, well, you know, what ESUs? I don't know. But are they listed? Likely they are. So and I don't know if anybody can argue with me on that. I enjoy that argument. And a person could probably dig into the PIT tag database and come up with a PIT tag. But I didn't do that. I don't have time. It kind of comes down to, and you can look at the tables are appended to the back of this thing. There's a running sum of mortality, so you can kind of pick your poison. How many fish do you, how soon do you want to have them in? And you can look across the line and see how many fish can die, theoretically, due to that delay.
Was it for the limited kind of?
Well, it depends on the population increase as it goes. So it's not linear, it's curvilinear. Yeah. But it depends on population increase, which kind of takes off, you know, starts to take off. So it reflects that for the same average. Look at the average. Well, that's why I use 10 years, because we don't start sampling every day. You know, the everyday sampling ended in 2002. Some years we didn't sampling until April 9th. So, you know, just using 1 year, you ignore those first days' worth, and if you don't use the entire 10-year record, you don't get some of the days. You'd have to interpolate. And I mean, I think that it's fair to go back 10 years. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, because the more data, the better in a situation like this, because we don't know what next year's going to be like. So you really have to use an average. This is a fairly high number of fish for me. I talked with my guys about it a bit yesterday. Richie reminded me that we get about 2% return rates on steelhead. So we're talking about a 1.9% return rate. So we're talking a pretty good number of fish here for adults. That's just on steelhead. On Chinook, it's less than 1%, maybe about 0.9 or somewhere in that area. But come up with a better number. That's fine.
We get beat on our heads about how SARs get better as it goes through, and that's why they shut off spilling away. At the beginning of the season, SARs aren't that great, so we're not that worried. We'll let you guys do whatever you want. But as soon as we're talking about continued operation, we're going to invest like 2% SAR. That's a little unrealistic.
What is it?
Well, I don't know. It's less than 2.
Yes.
I mean, you guys, Doug Marsh is doing
seasonal. Okay, so SAR. It's 1. So it's a 1%. And so now you're talking, 800 fish. So now you're talking
600 fish.
8 adults.
Adults.
Or you could be talking 13 adults. Or it could be higher numbers, depending on when the releases that go on at that time, if it's stop or not being releases.
I think we can implement a program in the hatchery. So that's something you should be smart to handle. It's just really, in my mind, is 600 juveniles at that time of year. That comes out of Paul's question.
Who would be handling the hatchery part? Right now, I mean, because you're already getting them on, they're already programmed for a date. They're starting to feed them. We need to get on top of that now if you really want to adjust it by a couple of weeks.
Right.
I guess the question is, do we know
what? I don't know, but if we do want to solve that problem, we need to solve it.
Well, you guys have the hatchery release dates, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
We could ask someone like Dave.
Can you let me do
it? I know, but we could ask Brandon when the hatchery release starts, see if there's any that are going to fall within the time frame this year.
So what we're missing here is the flip side of this, or the, you know, what's the benefit that we're going to accomplish by doing this?
I know the answer to that. But you take your guess as well, but we've done no work.
But that's what our
the problem.
Council asked that, and I said, don't know. We know that there are some loss of mortality, some of lamprey on screens. What we don't know is how many lamprey avoid those screens and go under. We don't know the differential survival rate between the two different rounds of passage. What we have in hand, mortality from the screens, we don't know what that is for turbines, so we're assuming 100% survival, I guess, but we don't know that.
Yeah.
So the flip side of it is that we don't have data. I do have data here. The other side of it I didn't mention was, if we assume about a 1% return on the Chinook, some of these are going to be upriver ESUs, Columbia River ESUs, which we're particularly concerned about right now. So, just a few adults there are important to us. And that can be another 10 adults or so. So we're potentially talking 20 adults from this action. And if those are all in my freezer, I'd be pretty happy. So, I think it's real. That's an important number. And if you don't have a flip side to tell us what the impact is in the land play, then I'm a little bit concerned about making that trade-off. And I think this is personally too much. I haven't got something
with
that...
current operations, I think that's right. But I say there's things we can do. We can mitigate this by saying just go a little bit extra. And so you don't
well, that's the council asked that too. And my response was the same thing. We could spill additional during those first 2 weeks, but I caution them in that you can't spill a little bit. This guy is going to say, okay, well, what's exactly how much spill do you need for that much survival offset? And I'm going to have a hard time with that, because I'd say, well, I'd want to spill a good spill pattern, even though it is early in the season. I'm not just going to trickle a little water out and do one TSW or something. I want a spill pattern. So that's a lot of water. I could do just a little bit.
What do you think, like 23% type stuff?
Yeah, something like that. Something to make the spill pattern at least work fairly well. I realize the pike minnow predation wouldn't be high that time of year. It's cool water. So it may be, and to that extent too, maybe the difference between turbines and JBS isn't as high as what I used to. I use the data from seasonal averages, not from
early season. Right. And also, what I'm taking into account there is looking at some of the new transport stuff and saying that bypass SARs are actually worse than non exact transport.
Yeah, when you go down that road and you say yank the screens and forget about it.
Like, I'm not getting that yelled at my head every day I go to the office.
I will just insert here just sort of an update that we made at the Fitterwig on Friday, which is there is a McNary transport study that's out, a draft report that's out. And I'll tell you, from discussions within the Corps, what there are some things that seem clear, which is in-river fish do better than bypass fish at McNary in the spring. But transported fish have higher SARs than fish bypassed back to the river.
Transported in-river were pretty close.
Right.
And bypass were behind, though.
And so I think they're kind of some growing legs on spring transport at McNary.
Those that are collected.
Those that are collected. And so that's just, I guess the take home from that would be make sure you review the report, because it's not final yet. And
also the concern is most of those were 4 years before we actually
There's all kinds of caveats.
Yeah.
I don't even want to go down the road.
Yeah. We don't need to have the discussion now, but just know that...
Yeah, I mean, if you open that, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying, just
because
I'm
getting
them
in my shop right now.
Is there a point on here, like December 7th or April 7th, that you are comfortable with, or is it screens in by the 1st? Looks like the 10th on...
Personally, I'm not comfortable with any of it.
Right.
So this is
you're saying
screens
discussion.
In. I mean, my job protects them, not like... So, we're going to work with everybody on this, just like we always do. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys. I want to listen to what people, the flip side of this is what's the benefit. And we need to hear that.
Yeah, so that data needs to be reviewed.
So, one thing I wrote.
That's the problem. There is no data. We've done no research on lamprey. All we've done is we know that when lamprey hits greens, it's bad.
No, but
what's
we've got
worse than turbines? Don't know. We haven't studied things. How do lamprey pass projects? Don't have a freaking clue. We've done no work on lamprey. The only thing we do know is lamprey numbers are getting pretty damn low. The lowest return we've had in years. And the question becomes is, if we don't start news up for lamprey, what does that mean? Does that mean extinction, or does that mean listing? And if we go to listing, that's going to change how this whole damn system works. That's going to make things a lot uglier for all involved. So I'm saying, if you don't start doing something now,
you need to, I mean, really. The reality is you need to be on a list.
So
situation now.
Yeah, they should be listening.
Critical level. But they're not listed. These other fish are. We're talking about listed fish. We're talking about a buy-off that stands based on this intake statement that was done under an analysis assuming, one, that 3 inches would be in the area in April 1.
All right.
So backing away from that increases the take. It's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I don't have an answer from council yet as to whether or not this is a reopening sort of a situation. I hope not. Everybody's fighting to avoid that. I'm sure I won't get that kind of an answer. I'm not going to get, yep, this is it. It's going to be more of an answer of better minimize this as much as you possibly can.
I mean, some of this is just, this is kind of a place to start looking at. These issues are not going to go away.
Mm.
They're going to keep happening more and more and more for a lot of other issues potentially. And if they get listed, it's just going to be the beginning. So it's how we start handling some of this stuff, how we want to deal with the other. I mean, there is another solution, but if we have money, you could put the better screen on these things. Yeah. And if there's a way to kind of figure out how to deal with which ones you screen, you know, try to make it efficient, find uniform priority units or set priority units during this early time or whatever.
Step installation or whatever.
Where do you put these? Which ones do you want on? So there are some ways to start looking at this and creating, like, maybe down the road. If money is available.
Right. So for this year, for this year, the way I originally wrote the change form was not to, don't start before the first Monday of April, and complete within 2 weeks of that. So what that means is,
which number last year?
Yeah, it's, but like the dates, the date will change.
So what would that mean for this year?
This is one of, yes, I did that, and this is one of the latest.
So six.
This year and next year will be the two latest, I think, and then we go back to, at early, I like the 12, you know, and then it shifts all the way to the 18.
Oh, no, that was this year.
It all depends on the year.
Change form, is that in this list that was sent out?
In 2010.
What?
I thought it came out last
year. First Monday.
What's the first Monday in April? The 5th?
Is there any evidence that
you're
talking about some of these fish?
ADA.
River Springs, Columbia. Is there any stock evidence showing that, like up to
Columbia?
No, I'm
getting. And what's 2 weeks after that? Would be the 19th?
It's in there right after the JDA one.
I don't know why they would there.
They're organized by.
Why would there
be
Oh, I know, right? I mean, that's going to. That's going to concern a lot of
people. Oh, yeah, I went past it. I thought it was all one.
It's a simple analysis. It's just looking at pit tight fish.
So right.
Sure.
Right now,
the
way I wrote the change form was to try to avoid having to rewrite it every year with the date being the first Monday and then finish within 2 weeks. For this year, that means April 5 through the 19th. There's ways we can change that. We could say starting not earlier than April 1 and ending no later than like April 14th. So that you have like a definitive end date that's not going to keep falling. So that's one thing we can do. Like I'm thinking about the existing change form now. We could tweak it and say start April 1 and end April 14th. So that you have that definitive 14th kind of line in the sand. That's one thing we can do. Some other language we can add to the Fish Passes Plan change form would be, you know, install screens in opposite direction of unit priority.
I was just thinking that.
That would be another thing that would. I don't know if people like that idea, but there's some things we can do on that front as well. But a lot of this is we're going to do the best we can to make a decision with very, very little data for lamprey. And we can sit here and keep repeating the fact that we don't have very much data for lamprey, and it's not going to change it. There's just not very much data, and so we have to make a decision for this year. And I understand, Gary, you're in a tough spot where your only job is to look out for listed salmon. But somehow, as a group, we need to.
I'm just not going to tell you that 100 fish is okay to kill. I can't tell you that.
But it would be nice to know at what, without saying okay, it would be nice to know at what level you. Noah thinks that would throw us into a reconsultation. And so it'd be nice.
I asked that question weeks ago.
Okay.
Well, based on your analysis, it looks like the, well, the 10th is like where it really kicks in your 10-year average and makes it more of an impact.
Yeah, you get
so
be careful
if you can do starting at the 1st and getting by the 10th. I don't know, how long does it take to do it? 7 days? They're there
it's
for 4 days?
It's also not all or nothing because you put screens in, so over time you're having units that are screened. It grades in. By the 14th, then you get your last screen.
That's what this is reflecting. This is a stepwise. Yeah. It's model. It's a model, and it steps in 2 units a day.
Which units? Based on priority?
No. No. It's just percentage.
Okay.
Raw. 1 to 1.
Okay. So I do get concerned about saying April 1 to the 10th. That would mean that we have, like, zero wiggle room. Like, if everything goes perfectly, could we do that? Yeah, we could. We could probably do that if everything goes perfectly. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to go perfectly. This year was an example where they were given, I think, the first Monday was actually the 4th, I think, where they actually didn't start until the 7th because of a number of different variables. And so it's really hard to say, guys at the project, you have zero flexibility just because there's a lot of things that come up. And so...
And this is also assuming, unless I'm missing something here, that the crew is working over a 3-day weekend that
no,
they normally don't work.
No.
No, it doesn't.
No. I stepped them in, work days only.
Starts
on Monday. The first screens will be done on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Nobody works on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Which
it starts again on Monday, Tuesday, and it's done by Wednesday.
Which is why my original change form gave them 2 full weeks. It was start Monday and then 2 full work weeks. That's enough to complete it.
Right.
And so that's why I feel like really the least amount of wiggle room that we can probably give would be the 1st through the 14th. Because that is right there, not 2 full work weeks on most years. That's like usually about a week and a half. Oh, it's about.
You need 7 work days.
Yeah.
If you're doing 2 units a day.
And so that's going to, across all the years, it's going to average out to be about the 1st through the 14th or so.
Can you get 3 done a day?
If things go perfectly.
It doesn't, you know, I mean, what this comes down to, though, is what's the, if there's a trade-off in the benefits versus the cost. Not how fast you can get it done. It's, you know, how many days do you need? Protection? 2 weeks? 7 days? Cut you back to 7 days? Is that even worth it? Are there any lamprey present?
That's in there. Some years they come early, some years they come late. It all depends.
Another way we can do this is just look at this year.
Is there, but that's the same as salmon. Do we ever? I didn't look at a year now. I didn't have time.
No.
Was there, did you do a 10-year or whatever average of lamprey counts and how
many
you have from day to day through that?
Yep.
That's for lamprey?
So what do you want to know?
I want to know, you have tables for lamprey
tables attached, yeah.
Showing
they did bring them, I didn't bring
1 through the 14th and how many lamprey are present given the record that we have. Not forget the variability, just look at the average. Because we don't know what's going to be.
Well, I guess one point on that is if there's ever a year that we're going to do this, this is the year. Because you look at adult returns, and I believe it was...
Heard that last year.
02 and 03 were relatively big
lamprey
return years. And so if we're... if we're believing the what we understand about life history, which is those juveniles don't come out until about year 6 or 7, this is like the last year to take advantage of that, the relatively large number of adults that returned.
We need to know what the impact is for lamprey. I mean, just a feel-good gesture isn't enough to offset loss of salmon.
I kind of want to play with some of the numbers that are fairly well accepted. You're looking at probably around 25% of the car house getting screened. extended screen. About of those, kind of a rough estimate, 25% of those are death and mortality. And those are quite somewhat conservative, I guess. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the numbers that you guys have been talking to at the last
meeting.
So, you
can
use that at least as a starting place to look at the numbers you should.
What I'm asking for is somebody needs to put together at least a competing discussion on this.
Yeah, at least you have data. I've got nothing, but I'm just basically just coming up with
some.
That's all just like wild ass guess. It's speculation. I can put down a speculative.
Wild ass guesses against dead salmon.
I think the number hitting the screen is fairly consistent.
What were the numbers again?
About a quarter of the fish that hit the dam, if there's no spill, are going to probably go through the screens.
Okay.
If there's no spill?
If there's no spill, that means 25% of the population.
Right.
Because that's nice. That's one nice thing about not having spill. It makes it really easy to tell you what percent of the population.
And how much is it? How much mortality?
At least 25%.
At least 25%. Very up to 50 some studies, but
it's almost 50 something.
25 is kind of like.
So about 1/8 of the population is a minimum estimate. Mortality.
So the long-term solution is to get screens.
Yeah. And screens. A little more lamprey friendly.
That's how many screens?
What's the mortality rate?
78 or something.
Mm-hmm.
During the period the lamprey has, how many turbines are you using? And how many, your priority units, I assume, and how many?
It depends on the flow regime, but a lot.
Whatever discharges come.
Is it the whole spring flow?
Most of the units are going to be in operation.
Also, okay.
And
so, can we get something to counter his memo, or?
I can put them together. It's going to be. I mean, you're going to have a not truck through it.
Assumptions.
We'll put together. I mean, it's all just assumptions.
Yeah. Well, at least we'll have something.
What was the memo that was just mentioned that's already posted?
Yeah,
Gary's memo.
Gary's memo. I thought there was another one.
Jerry had a counter argument here, not just this can't be.
Jerry.
Jerry McCann.
On lamprey.
Oh.
It's also included in the November minutes.
Is that what that was?
Oh, from the November minutes. Okay.
Yeah, and that's got the table.
And that's got
the
numbers per year and an average.
I think it's like it'll be really
the November minutes.
The thing I first put together had all.
Am I talking funny? I just sound funny.
If I'm talking funny, you're talking funny.
Yeah, but I
otherwise, I could just say you're sounding funny.
Right. Your average, your 5 year, whatever.
Sound congestion.
Yeah. Sound like coming down some.
The table.
Oh, I have it.
Yeah. I put it together, but we can do it.
I've got it. I'm on it. Just get it by
all.
Well, thanks for coming.
It's in here.
Yeah,
I
can do that pretty soon, too.
Oh. It's not
make
like
a
something
lot of
you can get from
numbers of fish. It will help with the argument on upper restriction.
Right.
Upper quantity restriction.
So I can't really hear.
Yeah, this is a conversation.
Just a good panel.
But don't sell steel issues.
Yes, I'll make you a stinking memo.
And we don't want no stinking memo.
And I think everyone understands that it's a lot easier to write a memo when you have data as opposed to when you have very little data. So I think we get that. And
I'll list out the assumptions. You can drive a Mack truck through them, and there you go.
Is there any, I can't help but think, though, is there, we want to be cautious going into this because the real big train that's coming down is bigger than this, and it's basically how to manage this big picture wise. I mean, we're seeing these issues come to surface all the time now, and I appreciate the questions to Gary regarding how does NIMS feel about exceeding its intake, but for all intents and purposes and all due respect to your agency, it's really it's the Corps' problem. If anybody's shouldering the risk for balancing out things, managing things you're doing that has coverage versus the things that don't, it's going to be the action. It's not the regulatory agencies. And so it's a core risk assessment, and it's big, and it's the Corps running into this problem all the time now with these accord meetings and trying to balance these issues out. And I just think with this memo, which I think is going to be super helpful, but over the course of the next couple of years, it's a big, huge challenge.
Well,
so I'm just saying,
this into words.
Put it in context as best as possible.
Yes, words, but this is huge. This is really big. I mean, I think all these meetings that are upcoming right now, with the Corps and the tribes and everybody, this is the tip of the iceberg. So,
well, there's, you know, I mean, things can be done. There are mitigative actions that could be done. You guys can make the decision to open the spill gates. 1st of April.
But getting back to your whole buyout comment, I mean, that's a huge one. I mean,
it is huge, but
the
federal
managers don't want to go.
Reopening the buyout is huge, too. I mean, all these things are huge issues.
They're huge issues. Now, I'm trying to bring that to light to say that this is going to start, this is the tip of the iceberg that's really, in my opinion, going to start pushing this bigger movement, which is necessary, but.
Well, redesign of the system is really.
So it sounds like Tom is willing to take a stab at a memo, and he's thrilled to do it.
I'm so excited. Well,
and
I hope so.
And Gary?
Who's asking?
We'll be driving the Mack truck.
Yeah. Gary, you can.
Just be the long haul trucker that he is.
I'm not quite dead yet.
I'm a biologist, not a trucker.
Gary, you'll continue to press folks within NOAA so that you have. Some level of yes, this is going to trigger
a
reopening. This won't, and then we'll want input from everyone else.
And Fish Transfer Center is going to pull together pit tag data to look at the stock distribution in that early period.
We want all this for the next step.
I think by the next step bomb. If you could send it out a week before F bomb, so that give a chance. For people to review it, so we can be here.
I think people just have to be careful, you know, about this. There's a lot of discussions about the worth of salmon, and you know, people are on one side of the fence, and then all of a sudden they're on the other side of the fence. Be careful what you're saying.
I'm just being most people.
And everybody needs to be real careful about what they're saying.
No, I know. I'm just curious that this is all well and good, and that kind of stuff. I understand the data, but it's like
total.
It's 600 juveniles.
That's the whole issue right now.
Be careful with that argument.
The whole
turn around bites.
Yeah, but this is
it's already bit us. I'm just saying, but this is, I mean, that's what how it's written in the bio. So I mean, I got guys in my office going, hey, if they're in the performance measures and they're doing this operation, what's the whoopie do? And I'm going, well, there's a big whoopie do, but I can see how people are going to start doing it.
Well, that's neither here nor there because it's this year's discussion, because we do not know if we're hitting performance measures because we've never tested them at that dam. And if you look at the data, as I explained at Walla Walla, we're not meeting them for yearling Chinook. So
I don't think you are either.
Feel that we are. So who cares? Kill them. But I don't think that's what you want to say.
Just to make it more convoluted, then you add the AMIP issue and hitting the triggers, and now we're talking about
something
potentially. But all I'm trying to say is that it doesn't add, it makes a challenging risk assessment when you're trying to say, look, we want to pull screens, and here we have, we're hitting a trigger. Anyways, so.
Okay, so I think the point is, though, if we get this other memo, Tom's willing to take a stab at, ultimately, yeah, Doug's right. I mean, the core, we have commitments in the BIOP. We have commitments in the Accords. We take them all seriously. And not everything's always going to align perfectly, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And so we're soliciting all your input on helping us make this tough decision. Ultimately, we will have to make a decision. I want everyone's input before that decision is made, but we will make a decision on this, and we will do something in 2010, and we will install screens at some date at McNary, and that's what we need to work through. And so I think we can get there. Ultimately, I realize, Gary, you're not going to say, yeah, you're comfortable killing this number of fish. I know you're not going to say that, but we want to get everyone's input on this before the Corps makes a decision.
And two critical issues I see. One is, if it is a take issue, what's an acceptable take?
Mm-hmm.
That's critically important.
He's already answered that.
There's another issue.
And that is going to be on decision. And the other one is if they're Upper Columbia Springers. Is those two are critical issues for policy people.
Well, there will be Upper Columbia, whether you see a pit tag or not.
But how many?
Well, we don't know. We're not going to know because pit tag numbers at that time of the year are not going to tell you distribution.
But that's those are the kind of questions you can see policy people.
I know. I've already been asked that, and I've heard those answers. It's not going to really help us out. It's not going to be a real easy roadmap here.
No, it's not.
But there is an issue we got to consider, and that's how, I mean, you guys can make a decision. It is your responsibility to do that. But there's also a coordination process. This is also a committee process.
Right.
And I would hope that before you step out and say, we're going to do this, that we go through that process.
That's why we're here.
Say, wait a minute, I don't agree that we move this up through the process, that whatever it is, a REOG or whatever.
But that's why we're sitting here. That's why we're talking about it.
We need to go through that, because whether I say, yeah, I'm okay with 10 fish or 5 fish or whatever, doesn't mean that I wouldn't say I'm okay with a compromised operation. Yep. I can say that.
So is that's, planning on having a vote next meeting on this issue?
Yeah, I think come prepared to...
Two things have to happen. We need an alternative... the flip side for Lamprey, written up. It doesn't have to be this number versus that number. It can be this rationale versus that rationale.
That's fine.
That just puts the rationale on a piece of paper, why, so that we can weigh that on an even table with this. And then we're going to have to, we'll have that in front of us to be able to...
Yeah. And just, vote. Yeah. So let's plan to have a... At least everyone's input on this next meeting. And also, one final note on this. Like it or not, we're going to start getting comfortable with this discussion, because this is not the end of it. This is the start of it.
Another question was earlier about the hatchery leases. Do you want us to add that in? What leases are...
Let's see if there are any that are going to be this time frame. If there's not...
I'm assuming that we will cut the numbers I have in here by the percentages that I have percentages for 40 and 50% for Chinook and Steel, respectively. So you use that to cut your numbers. I'm assuming that we can stop hatchery releases during that time. I'm assuming that the estates are sitting here.
It might be good to get that permission sooner rather than later, because that way we can give those hedge guys a heads up to, hey, don't be even lower hatchery right now.
Yeah, and there's certain restrictions they have to control.
Yeah, I'm assuming that we can adjust that for 2 weeks.
You've got to get your engineers figured out if you have to wear the plant gets
falling out. Restrain.
If there's any way, I've heard rumors there was supposed to be a way to do that in some old room. But see if you guys got any brilliant idea about how to do a cheaper way to get a smaller gap screen without replacing the old large. Is there another way to do it?
No.
Putting this up over it?
The screen on top of the screen?
No. No.
All right. It's the next meeting.
And no.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. All right.
So they have rush sweeps on them and all.
Agenda.
Replace the screen and put them back in.
Okay. So I always heard rumors.
Fondo?
I'm thinking about the S. My S.
Yeah, that'd be different. But S is going to accept it.
So, okay, come prepared for sort of reaching some level of finality on this particular issue at this level at FPALM next month.
Yeah.
So, and with that, we I think Scott.
Well, let me ask one more question, please.
Yeah.
The rest of these change forms under Section 8. Are we going to approve or reject them? Are we going to go through them or not?
We're going to go through them, right?
Yeah, we haven't got there yet.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Okay.
Because things people were getting antsy here. I'm sorry.
What? You're not going to be there?
I have
3 minutes to take.
Are you presenting change forms?
She's not one of them.
I wasn't aware of any that I have. You
still work on your priorities.
What do we got? Tammy's a change form.
Yeah. Actually, you like the next one.
I think for Walla Walla, all the change forms have already been presented.
This one's still in question.
So where are we going? 8.4 is approved.
8.4 we just approved, that's right.
Excellent.
So wait for Gary to get to 8.4.
Oh, that's 8.4.
Almost. 8.4.
I think so.
So
you got to step through this?
So we're moving on to agenda item 8, which is
do your McNary's.
All of the Walla Walla change forms have been presented already.
Hey, we're doing a change form.
I think we're running into a little bit of confusion on this section because all the wall-to-wall change forms have been presented.
You had some last month that had not been put in writing? And no, all of them have not. These are all new ones.
Can we just step through these?
Let's just step through them. Just go through one by one.
8.4. Well, okay, we'll start with 8.4 and then go back to... Okay, 8.1. Bonneville, 007.
Where is that change form?
So what is the change?
At the end of
so
the
it's,
language,
it's the language we use. It's the language you use to talk about when you do things. What time? Daylight savings or Pacific just, Standard?
It's not highlighted. I just didn't know what it used to
the
say.
Visual count counting method.
It should be highlighted. I mean, it works on mine.
Mine's highlighted.
Yours is defective, Gary. Daylight savings.
Where's the
it's so that when you look when you look at the hours, you will see the actual hours that they're counting. Before it was in Pacific Standard Time, so it said 4 to 20. And they're not counting at 4 in the morning. They start counting.
That's a table. And we're just talking about April 1 through October 31 period.
Correct.
Which is all within the daylight savings.
Check.
Okay. And if it's contiguous with that
this one is
period of time.
Okay.
So it is, I double.
Okay. Okay. Check, got that one.
Check, okay. Dow 004.
They're the same.
Oh, yes. Sorry, check out. Okay, so now we're up to the McNary one?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's really no, it's nothing. It's just, you're just writing it. You're not changing it.
Just making the words
right.
10 McNary.
Making it equal with what you would normally see. So, because we don't, even Bonneville Fisheries had issues with that because we're like, well, okay, they're counting from 4 in the morning, but then you finally look at.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay, ESPS is at McNary. We're punting on that. 8.5 is trash rack cleaning frequency.
Correct. You can see this right here on page number 16. It's just rewording of the removing debris. This came out of a Fitterwick meeting and it was discussed. And it says, you know, that we can see the underlying change that we want to put into the trash rack cleaning at the project.
That's page 16. Well, it's at the top of page 17, isn't it?
I don't have anything underlined.
Right
okay.
After
it starts off. It starts off page 15 is the start of this change form.
Yeah, you look at mine.
That's what happened. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I
must have hit a different.
Yeah, I printed them out
in final without.
Final so that I can.
Oh, I see.
It enlarged enough to actually.
Oh,
see
I see.
It. And so you can see the new language here. There was. Mainly one sentence, which says, remove debris from four bay and trash racks as required to minimize impacts on fish conditions.
So you're going every month instead of every other.
The new language is generally this will result in removing debris from trash racks at least 4 times per year, prior to the fish passage season and monthly for the first 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
There's an increase in frequency of trash rack raking.
Right. So it's you're for the first 3 months of the fish passage season?
Right. Yeah.
And that's regardless of any
That's basically, they will do that.
Yeah.
Now, after that, they'll do it as needed.
Okay.
And it may be weekly, maybe monthly.
And that's where we're going to leave discretion to the project bio to use information from the SMP folks on fish
before?
Condition.
What did it say?
Just every. The only thing that's new was underlined.
Yeah. Everything's new is underlined.
Yeah. So what was.
Additional.
What was deleted in front of the and that's struck out here?
Well, there's no and that was struck
and
out.
And every other month through the remainder of the fish passage season.
Yeah.
So what's wrong? Why is that struck out? I'm just trying to understand why.
How did it read before the change?
Well, it's taking every other month out of it and saying doing it as needed.
It's doing it
based
as needed.
Project bio.
Instead of every other month, it's saying doing it as needed.
So in previous seasons, was it always at the beginning of the month, at the middle of the month, or just any time in the month?
It was done before the installation of the fish screens. Mm-hmm. It was done monthly after that.
Well,
now, schedule-wise, you know, it's within that month.
So it could be the first of
the month.
January and the last day of February.
Right. It could
potentially.
So this is cutting back on trash rate.
No, it's not.
That's the way it reads to me. We will get 4 times and then forget it after that unless you need it, which may or may not be. I mean, that's a retroactive approach rather than a proactive approach. for the rest of the season. I mean, that's the way I read it, is that it's good for the first 3 months, which is the spring months, and then it's kind of like, well, we'll get around to it as needed after that.
Well, it doesn't even say what's going to happen after those first 3 months.
Additional track rash raking may also be required when heavy debris loads are present.
That's a global statement.
That
doesn't refer to after the first 3 months.
Right.
There's no statement in here about what's going to happen after the first 3 months.
Unless there's a problem.
Additional raking.
Okay, so we could add an intro into that additional raking may be required sentence that says, for the following months. In the following months, additional raking may be required when heavy debris loads are present.
After the first 3 months of the fish passage season?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't
change.
But
it just says additional raking may be required. It's additional to what? Because it.
In addition to the four times per year?
Okay.
Yeah.
Additional and say raking may be required. After the first 4 months, raking may be required. Just, you know, take additional out and change it.
Yeah. The point is, when there's any fish condition issues, that will instantly trigger the fish bio to be proactive,
not proactive. That's reactive. That's see the problem, go out and change, go out and do something versus kind of
having a schedule for it.
Proactive to me is you go out and you rake whether you think you need it or not, just to make sure that there's no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been doing over the years.
So you're bringing this forward because we're not seeing a problem for a number of years in that period of time.
Yeah, this was before trash rat rakes were cleaned two and sometimes three times a year. What this is saying is now we'll do it four times a year,
right,
and additional rakings will occur as needed. So there's more
early in the season.
Reading the words here, it says that at least four times per year prior to the fish passage season and monthly for the first 3 months, and then there's no schedule for regular raking or raking after that, and it leaves it only to the as needed after the fish passage season, the way this reads. So if you mean these four times per year to be possibly two before the fish passage season and two afterwards, it's not reading that way.
No, it should be reading one before the fish passage season and then monthly thereafter. And
until.
Yeah, that's what it reads. So it would be in March.
Right.
I don't see just April, like that in McNary's.
April, May, and June.
And then after June, after refreshing it, you go to an as needed basis.
Right.
That's what it's saying.
It needs to be clarified.
And before it was monthly through that season.
Well,
so
now wait
a minute.
Fish passage season starts April 3rd at McNary?
Right. It starts in April, yeah.
10.
April 1.
April 10.
No,
April 1. So it's not the
April
same
1.
As April.
April 1 is the fish passage season?
That's when the screens go in.
Yeah.
Okay.
April 14th.
Fish passage period is April 1. It's written right there, too.
Can I hear something?
So it's April
1st.
April 1 if
April.
You go to screens.
So
it's April 1.
The first cleaning would happen in March,
right,
before the fish passage.
The
April, May, June are the next three.
Mm-hmm. And then after that it would be
as needed.
Right. Basically you have some of your milk for it.
And before they would have done it anyway in the summer on every other month basis. The way I read it.
So this is to eliminate using
it says in for
that resource when it's not
for
necessary.
McNary, it says right now.
Based on the differential on the screen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the issue here is that the Corps and the BIOP we've asked to deal with debris at McNary Dam.
Yeah.
And
I don't know that this is really an aggressive way of dealing with it.
I
mean, an aggressive way to deal with it would be you rake them every month.
Yep.
The whole season, from end to end, when needed or not.
And
that's aggressive.
Needed.
I don't know that I'd use that. That's aggressive.
It's 2.6.1.2.
Or put in screens that are self-cleaning. Or other issues that we've been concerned about at McNary from a debris standpoint. Most of those, though, occur in the process.
Just remove debris.
All right, well.
2.3.1.
Well,
this is better than, I mean, the first part of the season, obviously, this is better. Later in the season, how many times do we have debris issues? I guess that's the question. I know we have problems. You know, I know that we've had some tumbleweed issues, and we've also had sponges and all these other things that build up on the screens. That's not trash wraps. That's what tumbleweeds are. They're a trash wrap issue.
Right.
When they clean those racks in the past summer, have they been getting a lot of debris?
No.
Just debris in the trash racks.
And then the other thing, too, is that we, you know, in the summer, we're really running a couple of units. Depending on the spill scenario.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to back off.
These days.
But it's not the entire powerhouse.
No.
So you don't have to clean the entire powerhouse. I guess knee-jerk for me would be I would like to see the red, the stricken part of the red, not stricken. So that we stick with it every other month during that time of the year. So it's only a couple
okay.
of 3 months, three more times that you have to do that, and then you're done.
Okay, got it.
That's about, you know, I mean, I don't mind going through an analysis if we have the data in front of us that says, you know, shows that, well, you know, they do that, they could never get any debris. I mean, it's just zero. It's stupid. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, you got to bring it up.
What? No, but I mean, that's right. Why I write memos, so that I can have the data out there in front of people so that we understand what we have.
So if we go back and see if we get the rationale to do that, I hate to impose it on if they really don't need to do it.
Right. The
yeah.
Additional
I'm not trying to do that. I just want to make sure that, I mean, debris was highlighted for McNary as an issue, and this doesn't prove it, but it doesn't.
So was that period of time that it's a concern in the spring or the summer?
It's mostly a spring issue, but we have, I mean, there's the tumbleweed issue in the summer. You start picking up tumbleweed.
Okay. Tumbleweed.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is go ahead and leave the new sentence in, and it's the new sentence is now going to end monthly for the first 3 months, and will be initiated every other month through the remainder of the fish passage season.
Yeah.
I want some clarification on this four times a year, because the way this
March, region, April, May, June.
Put it down.
Well, it's good to just say we'll do it March, April, May, June,
because this doesn't read that way.
Okay.
And that's complete clarification.
I can put that down. That's what I thought. Once, just before the fish passage season, which is March, and then
and do that once before the fish passage season, parentheses March, and every month thereafter, April,
it's okay with me the way
May and June.
If you put once, yeah.
I mean, that's the way I read it.
I was reading the prior to the fish passing season as when the four times would occur.
Oh,
okay. And so it's the first raking of the year as written in the fish passage print happens
once
in before fish passing season starts.
Okay. I will add that in, just in parentheses, just prior to the fish passing season, parentheses,
once,
March.
Once just prior to the fish passing season.
Okay.
And then...
Once just prior to the fish pasture season, parentheses March, and monthly for the first 3 months.
Yep.
April through June. April and June.
And then additionally,
I'm going to, just so you know, I'm going to put the words and will be initiated every other month for the remainder. What I mean by initiated is if they're doing it and they've done a couple full runs and they're coming up with a completely empty.
Initiate.
So we'll initiate it. That's the point is, we don't...
Okay, and I'll go one step further. Initiate it in those most used units.
Okay. Initiate it at priority unit.
I mean, you might not even be thinking about it.
You need to specify that the full raking may not be completed if debris is not...
Make that clear.
Because if you need to say that in some specific way that initiated means that it will be checked and maybe not completed.
Initiate screen cleaning if debris is present.
They'll initiate it, but if debris isn't present, they won't continue it.
That's what I'm saying. That's in the heaviest used units for that month.
Yeah, but ours are whether it's trash cleaning.
I thought that would be such a tough word.
No, it needs to be plain so that from year to year, new people aren't confused.
Well,
You know, they understand clearly what it means.
I found a die here.
No.
Look, I was saying that was the last one.
Doug's a new person. You never know when a new person will come around. And it shouldn't have to be voodoo to try to decipher it.
Okay. Moving on then. Can we move on? Okay.
You're going to send an updated form?
Sure. 06 McNary 006 is basically the. Yeah. They're basically the juvenile fish collection numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so does this. My thought is this doesn't need to be a change form. We're just updating tables. We don't need.
Just updating the tables.
Yeah. Adding another year.
Adding another year.
Cutting off 1 year, adding a year.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
You're cutting off a year. Wait.
You're cutting off a year.
Yeah.
What? You're taking something out of it?
Wait a minute. Why cut off a year?
So what?
Can we have narrow up the college. You can have still have another year.
You want to get out of here.
Okay, so we're just going to update this every year. We're not going to do a change form.
All right. Okay. Oh, I just lost you. I was trying to find it. So you're talking about the table on page 17 now, right?
Yeah.
17.
So you're saying you're only going to show a 5-year period each year in the Fish Passage Plan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then say that. The most recent 5-year period.
Oh.
A rolling 5-year period.
A rolling 5-year.
Don't average.
Not average.
Weekend migration period.
So yeah, why are we using 10 like everything else uses 10?
Because go ahead, if you want 10, go to Fish Special website and get it yourself.
Because it takes up more printed space.
Contentious.
Is that okay? Just the most recent 5-year or somehow?
Past 5-year.
Yeah. Most recent 5-year data.
But this isn't an average. This is for each year.
Yeah, no.
It's the timing.
The table will show the most recent 5-year data.
Okay.
Is that true for the next one?
Where are we now?
Yeah, that's what it is for all of
us. McGarry Lomo.
It should be on Goose.
I love these next two.
We're going to put them in there.
So you enter class number for what's the next one now? 10 LGO0001?
Yeah, that's the crest height change.
What's the difference between that one and the next one, which is 10 LGS0002? LGO and LGS? I'm lost.
I corrected it on mine.
Oh.
You may not have gotten corrected on the agenda.
S. Okay.
I have LGS-001, LGS-002.
Yeah, so many
years. Up across the table. This will be the last time I come to this meeting.
No, you can't do that. You can't opt out.
Okay, so that...
So that takes care of 8.6 through 8.9, right?
Mm-hmm. The little goose... 001 is just pulling those footnotes out of the footnote area and into the text of the FPP.
Yeah, that's what we're doing with that.
Yeah. You with that, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, okay, we are 8.9 is just the same table.
So we're going to add the recent past 5 years.
Well, it's the same table as the one.
It's just the juvenile passage.
Okay.
So it's the same as the.
So we're all of these we're just going to add the sentences. The table will show the most recent 5-year data. I don't know.
Let's put this all together.
Okay.
Number 10. That's the one I was here for.
10.
10.
And this is.
Burn is this yours?
Burn.
Yeah.
Except for gradient. What's got from this?
So this is 10.
Yeah.
What is 10? Proposed by Tom Lord.
Tom Lord.
What about
the 10 Appendix B001?
Oh.
Yeah, what's.
They wanted to show. Last month we sent this thing through FPOM, and we needed to show the language.
You needed the percentage and number of dead fish. You guys didn't settle on that last month.
On the, where are we at?
It's under page 20.
Appendix B, change form 001.
Mm-hmm. 001 is the 6% or greater, do not exceed. We do not need to report it, but it's 50%.
That was added from last time.
Yeah, yes. That's...
So if you're happy with the original numbers, that's fine, but when we left the meeting last month, you guys had not settled on that.
We said 50 fish is a minimum. That's all I don't care about.
So the other line is new, right?
Right.
And it's good.
Thank you.
Approved.
And then I guess that brings, well, I guess we have potential.
So now we're down to number 10.
What was the change on this one?
This is Tom Lors's one that he needed to rewrite and resubmit, and I haven't gotten a resubmission.
Well, I need to see the new turbine, because I was going to rewrite it until I saw the finalized turbine one, because he said once we get the turbine part of it written back, then I can have it.
So until I get that, I have
there
the original one in here as a placeholder.
But we're not approving this one today.
So this one's not on the table.
Don't blame me. I looked this one over. It hasn't been changed yet.
10,000.
Don't get me riled. There's an and or in there.
I saw that.
What else we got here?
That should be it.
Okay, change one.
No one proposed 10,000.
Oh, there's one.
Okay, 10,000 is actually there already.
It's written by Tom Lors.
That's all
I see. Yeah, 10,000.
Go ahead and
kill 10,000 fish.
If I remember, that came from, I think,
the Dow?
The Dow's a stretcher. It's all you get.
I'm moving forward to install lines over the toys.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That should be. Yeah, this is a nice thing. This can't stand.
I know. That's why I was trying to do some
tank. This can be. These are done, and this one's done. Percentage of mortality. I don't like 10,000.
That's what I said in my
notes. Pick a number. Okay. I mean, it's only 600.
Well, see, I wasn't.
600 seems to be critical, so I'm saying 600.
Oh. I change forms. I have a little more complicated.
So this is the one that USDA proposed?
You just now get onto that?
I think so, yeah.
So, do you have anything on 9 for your two Bonneville potential change forms?
No.
No.
No, we do at some point need to discuss.
So why are you adding it?
This is a tribal thing.
No, I just left it in there.
Go get the original.
Someone give me that.
Chairman Mao's getting very upset. Chairman Mao saying, chop, chop time. I cut you down.
Is that the Mao Rolex?
Yeah. So let's get going. You're on Chairman Mao's time now.
Yes. Okay, I think we are done.
Not quite.
I'm going to be dumb and ask again. This change you wanted inserted where, Tom?
We're not doing that.
Well, I know you're not doing it, but proposed.
It goes under the. Let's see, it should actually say
Appendix B.
Appendix B.
Appendix B after Section 3?
It says Appendix B.
There's.
Or added to Section 3.
Yeah.
That whole thing needs to be rethought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and don't forget, beyond what it says. In the last meeting, the court came up with a turbine, how to rediscuss the turbines. And I put mine in there too. And of course, we made it too messy to try to blend the two. So we thought, let's do the turbine part first. And then once we have the new turbine legs written, we can go in and deal with this.
There is a two-step thing here. Yeah. The whole idea, one of them is it's a two-step trigger. One is the trigger. Redistribution of turbine operation. The other is to trigger additional spill as an emergency measure. That's what this is all about. I don't have a problem with having a high standard for triggering a higher spill level. I do have a problem with having a high standard set for triggering distribution of turbine operations. That's making sense.
Yeah, well, the turbine one, and that's because we haven't been using a high standard to switch the turbines anyways. We used it last year.
Yeah, we should just be doing it.
That's what
it should be based on temperature.
Yeah.
You see it, you move. You know what's going to happen if you don't.
Yeah.
When spill, if you need additional spill in emergency operation, that's a high bar.
That's why I left it.
We'll work it out.
Okay, so that whole Section D needs to be reworked.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the core to come up with how they want the turbine language to be done, and then I can add in that other stuff to there.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to have track changes on track changes on track changes. Now we just get up.
The gals. New avian array for this year. This is what USDA said that they could probably install right now.
So already we're backsliding?
Apparently this is the 2010 tail race installation for Avian Waters.
Doesn't look dense enough.
And,
one question, did they talk at all about using the current wall?
What are we looking at?
Structure? Did you put
it's not. It's just something that Tammy got from Bob Corby today. So, I think he just wanted to put this out in front of you because it's a change.
Oh, the Dalles. I was thinking John Day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is after the Dalles spill wall gets completed. They're going to install the ones
how,
that...
How does this compare to what's there now?
Worse.
That's not worse.
I would say it's common.
It's about the same.
And are these going to be any lower than the current ones? Because the current
that's
ones are pretty high.
That's the critical
high.
Point. That's
I don't know. I just can show you a picture.
Coverage here is not bad, but you know we know that they're probably the distance between the wires is probably too great, and we know that the gulls are working under the bridge.
Yeah, they fly up underneath the bridge over here and fly up underneath the wires.
Yeah, I think there's a less density of wires in this one because they can't spend that much time.
There's a limit on
the bridge.
Yeah, it's a
blocking traffic because they have to block traffic for
to
there's
install
a limit
it.
Put on it by the state.
Right, ODOT.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's coming. I'm sure it's going to be at Fitterwig as well, and I'm sure there'll be a write up from the team.
The
okay.
Why don't we put old pools on the spill wall that we can use as attachment points?
I think that's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next
it's
year?
Just temporary.
I know this is going to happen. We're going to keep, there's a gull colony at Miller Rocks.
Yep.
It's a big colony. We're going to keep them away from John Day.
And then displace them.
They're going to lose some orders.
Displace them to the
Everybody Dalles. Knows they're going to get shifted. They're not going to go upriver.
So does that mean you guys have thought about looking at increased hazing of the Dalles?
That'll be next year's. Once we miss the performance standards.
You guys.
Damn.
We waste $8 million.
Lunch, $3.5 million or Chairman Chow said, time to go.
Chow.
One quick, all I have is one of these. This is, I think will be discussed tomorrow. This is McNary.
Oh, you're throwing one too.
Throwing one too?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
The
Tim's trumping me again.
Holy shit.
Okay. So what you see there is basically option one and option two.
Three and four.
Well, option, think about it simply as option one and option 2A, 2B, and 2C. Okay? Option one is the curve. And you'll see in millions is the cost on this. And so
this is being supported across the tail race?
This is raised above the water surface?
Yeah. Yeah. So option one is that curved ellipse there in color, and you can see right where it meets the first black line that says 9.4. If you take that route, that's about a $14 million outfall to there.
Your outfall right there. And this is going to be your alignment.
So we look at the alternative analysis that it says don't do
it. Whether, you know, I'm sorry. That's where it's going.
So now that
now what is that number? What is that number?
This is going from here, where we are now, over land and out to
the end of the banana, where
everybody said, "Hey, you know, this seems to be the best egress conditions down here on the end of this thing." Up here, we had some problems with the shore. Doing this is going to be over water construction all the way out, and it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be betting on the fact that we're going to have transport spring and summer
in the
future, which we may not, regardless of the report from NOAA. So
each time, this is a dollar value here in millions.
And
each time it crosses this line.
I don't know why these are like that.
Yeah, it's
I mean, this is the number.
So to get that curved ellipse all the way out to where Gary circled, that would be like almost $20 million.
Right. About double what?
Double the land amount is. Okay, gotcha.
I, you know, are we willing to spend $20 million on a bypass? I don't know, Gary.
So what we need to discuss again are the pros and cons of the two different designs.
Right. This one has the potential to disrupt spill in order to get the barges in for transport.
Right. This one here does, because you've got to go up here all around, right. Mm-hmm. If you intend to transport in the future, which is up in the air. And so, you know, are we willing to spend the extra $9 or $8 or whatever million dollars?
takes to go out there and do that than not have transport anyways. Well, and that, you know, there's another piece there too. We'll talk about it tomorrow afternoon, but you know, I know Fred, you know, was comfortable somewhat with going up through here with the barge, but I gotta wonder about that. I know it is shallow and there's spots in there, tail water goes up and down. All we gotta do is have the barge. It's more of a threading of the needle than it is.
Sounds like we got a couple more coming. Those ones that I made.
I also worry about a barge coming across here that has engine
problems. So it's kind of a heads up for tomorrow, but it's sort of a, just, it's kind of a nice picture of, okay, the ellipse, you cut it off short, and we're in the, you know, $14 million range over water, compared to the longest distance over land is about 11
million.
So it kind of at least gives you an idea of what the dollar values and trade-offs and
as far as not wanting to, like, so
talk about all the details of that tomorrow afternoon. It sounds like
unfortunately, I'm going to be over at PSMFC, SMP BIOS.
Oh, joy.
What should I be doing?
I'm not going.
I feel like now's the time.
I stepped slightly into it, and I got hate mail from Shirley.
I think now what we can do.
Yeah, we are now officially adjourned from FPOM.
Now what we can do and is make sure all these change points.
We're not going to talk about nine.
I'll just a quick wrap up. If you remember,
that cold,
hey Tom,
really?
Just real quick, and folks on the phone, to adjourn this meeting. Next meeting, January 13, is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's our FPP meeting. So it's an all day FPP meeting on the 13th, brutal. And then the next day, the 14th, Thursday, is a regularly scheduled FPOM.
Both here,
yeah.
Both here.
Same room, same time.
Yeah, back to back.
So looking at these, you've got some things on here. You listed them on the agenda, so I'm assuming that they're being presented.
Potential changes?
The Powerhouse 1 at Bonneville, that needs some description. I mean, a lot of, not just a quick change form, but that's going to require data. Just
for
when you come in, don't expect a solution unless you have all your work done ahead.
Well, these are potential change forms, and you haven't seen a change form on them because
I don't want to see a change form that says, here it is.
Oh, no, I don't think you will.
It's going to have to be a lot of background information as well associated with that. It can't just be a change form. That's a big deal.
I don't have any more change forms.
Are you talking about unit priority or the
ICTRUST
one?
Yeah, the bottom of unit priority one. That one I'm scratching my head about, so.
You're the one who brought it up. Don't make me pull up that meeting again.
Please do.
Timestamp.
2 hours, 17 minutes. I know I sent it to you. I can delete that if you're okay with unit priority and you don't want to change it, since you and Tom were the two talking about it. So you're okay with it?
Somebody heard that,
I think. Oh, no.
We may have talked about, like, is there a better way to operate that kind of stuff? But
it was just sort of a hypothetical on the side conversation that got turned into a.
So what happens when I catch it on the?
Captured it.
I'm
a change ball. I'm a liar.
Okay, I need to listen to that.
Chairman Chow.
I'll take it off. But the Bonneville Ice and Trash Sluiceway operation. The ITS operations, we'll have to discuss that. I mean, we know which gates are automated and where do you want to set them, and I think Sean will need to be able to go in and get some criteria on that, so it may just be a placeholder.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine to talk about that. That is unit priority.
I'll take unit priority off. I'm happy to delete stuff. And then I have two more, the corner collector opening date and then a potential ties installation date change form.
Ties gym should have covered today.
No, if you want to do a change on, the FPP says they'll be installed by 1 March. If the project wants a different date, they will.
I got some flexibility.
Yes.
That one's pretty straightforward. Then corner collectors are going to, of course, be the delightful knockdown.
It will not be a fun
but yeah, this is language. We'll talk about it. This will be a
so there's really only four, maybe five change forms that we have to discuss that have not yet been approved.
I already did the analysis.
Do you know where these ones are? I mean, here I wanted to, and one, two, and three.
No.
But I can look into them as far as, I guess that's what I just want to go away from today, because I need to get rolling on that stuff, and I haven't been, so.
Oh, that's okay.
What?
Well, so now.
No, it's not. So I need to start talking to people.
This last, like, 20 minutes sort of splintered off into a... But yes, we are officially done with F Palm, and we're back at F Palm January 13th for our FPP meeting.
Make sure all of our change forms that we have here are in our session.
So January 13th is a Wednesday.
This is where everybody brings in their FPP change form.
Now, I don't have all the wallet change forms. I mean, I have some of them, but I'm missing as well, because either they were never sent to me, like this security number 5, I only got that because I asked how come we had to
go Greg,
it's really different.
I saw that email. I didn't know. If there's something you need, let me know. There's something that I'm... I saw
you know,
that.
Right now, it doesn't seem like any of the projects want too much change. I mean, when I already sent out my notice to every one of the projects...
Okay, I guess I just... if there's something you need from me, let me know, please. I'm more than happy to send you...
There are a few little things that got to be updated. Speaking of which, you know, the page... Are you the one that's updating this page at the very beginning of each project?
This table?
Yeah, this table.
So you're not going to be here Saturday?
Who's doing that?
I think so.
You're not going to be here
Saturday? Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Because Ice Harbors is, just make sure, there's a couple of changes there that weren't caught last week. I can do that, yeah.
Good,
because, Mark Plummer sent it to me, and I said, I don't do these tables.
Okay, yeah, Dan told me about that, and I will do that. Can you help me out by either writing down what you need and either scanning it and sending it over somehow?
Well, I think that table is the same thing we could do with the juvenile fish table and the adult fish table.
Okay.
Time of year thing, we just between us, we just drop them in.
How would be the best way to do that as far as, because they are hard, I know they're in Microsoft Project, and so would it be easiest for you just to pull one out, make a photocopy of it, write down,
scratch out
and then ultimately I know I'll call you up and say, hey, I'm not understanding this, but can you just write it down, and then that'll get me to get started on it. I'll make sense of what I can, and then I'll give you a call ultimately.
That may be the way I can do it, yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a complete list of all your change forms at Walla Walla?
Yeah, and I was going to talk about those things.
There's 3 of them that I have absolutely no record of, but if you have all of them and they're updated, if you could send them to Doug, because I don't necessarily need to see them.
All right.
Just send them to Doug.
All right.
I just want the name of them and when they were approved so I can keep a record.
Okay, so as far as me walking out today, I need to get going on this. So what I'll do, why don't I send you an email, I'll highlight these missing ones.
Okay.
Hey, help me out on this.
Because Tammy sent out that email just the other day.
Okay.
Are those the ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I looked those things over and I was going to say.
She's Tammy.
Pardon?
Oh,
you're very welcome.
So do you want me to send another one? Or
yeah, remind me again on that.
Okay.
Get those,
and then at the same time, do you want to...
Oh, yeah, for the first table also. Say
yeah, I'm
also.
Just wondering... Okay, so you want me to type that in there too, say, please make your updates on the table.
And I'll just make a photocopy. And
photocopy it, chicken scratch.
Maybe PDF send it to you.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, that way.
Okay.
Because I can convert to PDF.
So then we'll put them into the sections, in that folder, so
right.
Lawrence can post those to the web.
Okay.
And then those sections... as long as they're all updated by the 30th of December or whatever. So that people have a couple weeks to review them before a FPP meeting.
Okay, I'm going to start saying to people on their stuff.
So I'll have all the Portland projects and the Portland appendices.
Okay.
So you just have McNary and the Force.
Okay.
It's harvest.
So not too many.
There's
not too many.
11, 12, 13. Okay.
And you'll put them right into the fish passage plan for 2010, right?
Yeah. Once they're approved, I'll do all the legwork. I just need
to.
Yeah. Put them in and track changes, and that's what we'll look at on the 14th, and then we'll put it up on the whiteboard or the screen and go through, and we can just find where the changes are
right.
That way. That'll be much easier since almost all these have been approved.
I think they have this time.
Final approval.
They have this time. I'm up to date right now.
Yeah, it should be pretty easy. We only have five pending change forms.
And the only other changes I would send you is the adult fish tables for Walla Walla. You probably do the ones.
Yeah, the ones for Portland are coming.
Yeah, that's it.
The overall handling.
It's pretty easy this year.
Oh, it's an easier year than last 2 years for some reason. I don't know why.
I didn't change the font.
That's what I want to talk about. What's the better way? A better way of handling fish if you have to have a better way to have a facility configured, which we'll talk about.
I have been reformatting, I think. Liddell's, John Day, and Bonneville. I think I've been trying to get all the numbers.
You
should do that.
So they
can we not use the facility every year?
I think when you get to four numbers and they end up, but you can look at. I really don't care how it is. That was just making it visually easier for me.
What happens if that happens?
Well, that's what I asked last year in the summer, and they're like, "Well, we'll cob something together."
Okay. Well, with the holidays coming up, it probably won't happen.
Yeah, it'll be like some size summer.
No, that trap on the side of the dam. There's another request that came in.